Okay, we're going to call the Senate Finance meeting to order. Time is 12:08, and with this on Saturday, April the 5th, is Senator Olson, I'm sorry, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and I thought I saw Senator Kelly, so he'll be with us shortly, and then myself, Senator Meyer. We're going to continue our public testimony on the capital budget, Senate Bill 119, and we've been limiting folks to 2 minutes because there's a lot of folks who want to testify on various items, various capital items. And we're going to start in Fairbanks, and actually we're Fairbanks and Matt Sue, and, but I'm going to start in the Fairbanks LIO. And if there's nothing to come before the committee, let's just jump right into it with Glenn Jude.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Glenn Jude, and I'm professor in the School of Natural Resources and Extension at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm a director of a project called BACLAP, that stands for Boreal Alaska Learning, Adaptation, and Production. BACLAP was launched with a capital appropriation in 2012 to DNR, and through a reimbursable services agreement, we carried this project out at the university. The project is on time and on budget, and I'm here to testify in favor of the $700,000 necessary to complete it. It's a project designed to capture the information that we need to be able to carry out sustained yield forest management, and at the same time take advantage of an opportunity to do some innovative work in education through hands-on learning. Now, all over Alaska, we have new wood energy facilities that are being built, most of them with the support of the Renewable Energy Loan Program. And there's a new demand for forest production in new parts of Alaska. I can go to the building where there used to be 14 federal forestry scientists and 10 research professionals, and there are no such positions in Alaska now. I'm on a faculty that used to be made up of 9 people and is now 4. So our capacity in the state has to do the research necessary to make this new initiative sustainable has really seriously diminished. So is this a complaint? No. There is something that we can do to help Alaska and to meet its constitutional mandate for sustained yield, and BACLAP is that project.
Does that conclude your testimony, Glenn?
I believe I got the 2-minute warning.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go on then to Pete Lewis.
Good afternoon. This is Pete Lewis, Superintendent of Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. I'm here to testify on 2 items in the capital budget. The first is Barnett Magnet School Phase 4. Barnett Magnet School has completed the initial three phases, and we're just finally finishing up the third phase currently. But phase 4 is approximately an $11.2 million project that will completely replace a 50-year-old building. What is left is in phase 4 has severe seismic and structural deficiencies. And we need to get this this project finished up. And to quote the governor, let's finish what we started. The $11.2 million can come obviously in a variety of ways. One is just straight up in the capital budget or through funding of the department's CIP list. We are currently fourth on that list, and it takes approximately $17 million to get through the first 4 projects on that list. Traditionally, the state has funded well over $25 million in projects from that list. That would leave only approximately $3.5 million that we would need to come up with locally, perhaps we could take care of that as well through the capital budget. It is important that we get this project completed. We started it in 2006, and it will give us a solid structure in a safe learning environment for kids for the next 50 years. So we would appreciate that being in the capital budget. The Second item is the Backrack project that you just heard about in the previous testimony. I've seen firsthand the innovative work that is going on in the collaborative efforts between the University of Alaska Fairbanks and our school district, and also with the support of the borough with regard to the boreal research that and projects that are coming to our classrooms. This is exciting, innovative work. Please fund this project, and we appreciate your support.
Great. Thanks, Pete. Let's go on to Jan Dow.
Thank you so much. My name is Jan Dow. I'm a research assistant professor in the School of Natural Resources and Extension at the university, and I'm also here to speak to BACLAP. I lead the K-20 education component of it, and just want to say thank you to Pete Lewis for also testifying to BACLAP. Along with Glenn Jude and Pete Lewis and myself, there are six other people in the room who, in deference to your time, will not be speaking to BACLAP, but who have already written testimony and submitted it to the public record. The educational component of BACLAP is called K-20 because we bring the power of the university, students, faculty, graduate students, and undergraduate, to working with K-12 schools. In the last year and a half, we've worked with more than 30 teachers in 12 Fairbanks North Star Borough schools and 850 students. In the summertime, our teaching K-12 teacher continuing education courses are beginning to attract teachers from across the state, not just from the interior. Our methodologies include integrative curriculum. We call it STEAM, science, technology, engineering, and math is what we know as STEM, but we add art in. As our arts coordinator for the district, Karen Stomberg, said, arts are the way in to integrative curriculum, and everything about this project is a collaboration between the school district here and the university. I want to stress that this is a community collaborative project. It depends on collaboration. And if you look at the public testimony that's come in, you will see that the ages of the people who have submitted testimony about BACLAP range over 60 years, from someone 14 years old to somebody in his mid-70s. And carpenters to artists to scientists. Thank you so much for your attention and the opportunity to testify today. Yes. And please do support completion funding for this project. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jan. Paul Gill.
Thank you. My name is Paul Gill. I'm in Senate District C in Fairbanks. I'm here in favor of the UAA and the UAF engineering buildings. I'm a graduate student of electrical engineering at UAF. I came to Alaska for the electrical engineering program at UAF. There are very few schools left that have power engineering, and of those, there are even fewer that do renewable energy, and that's what brought me to Alaska in the first place. I fell in love with the place. I intend to stay. My research interest is power for the remote villages in Alaska. We do not have enough power engineers in the country. The workforce is aging. We need younger engineers to replace them. I'm not sure if I count myself as young, though. We continue to invent new technology, but we still use the old technology. Some of the lab equipment I used this past semester dates back to 1903, and we continue to add more and more new technology. That means more things to teach the students. That means more lab equipment to teach the students. And by the way, I do feel grateful that UAF still has actual lab equipment instead of relying entirely on computer simulations. This does mean, however, that the amount of space required to hold the lab equipment increases, therefore the number of buildings needed also increases, so I would encourage you to consider UAA and UAF engineering buildings. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Paul. Michelle Simon.
Hi. So I'm Michelle Simon, and I'm testifying on behalf of the new engineering buildings for UAA and UAF, and I'm working on getting my master's in electrical engineering. And I want to study for communications, or a degree in communications. And main reason that I really want to have this new building is we keep getting more and more engineering students, and we just don't have the space to hold them. And so we need a new building so that we can keep developing the engineering workforce in Alaska. That's it.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Michelle. Brian Clemens.
Hi, my name is Brian Clemens. I am Vice President of Program and Project Development for CH2M Hill. I'm also the President of the Alaska Section for the International Society of Automation. I'm a board member at the Support Industry Alliance. And most importantly, relative to why I'm here today, I'm one of the board members and chairpersons for the University of Alaska Fairbanks College of Engineering and Mining Advisory and Development Council. I'd like to testify on a matter of Alaska's prosperity. I really think that it's important that we do finish these engineering buildings both at UA and UAF. Economic diversity is one of the important components that we have in Alaska that we need to pay close attention to. We find at CH2M Hill and in the industry in general that students that graduate from engineering in Alaska stay in Alaska. And personally, being an engineer myself, an electrical engineer graduate, I find that we have pretty good genes and we tend to breed really bright, innovative people that are also staying in Alaska. Their families and their extended families work in retail, healthcare, transportation, logistics, finance, banking, hospitality, tourism, forestry, fisheries, public service, and many other things. And we need those really bright, innovative people to help us figure out how we're going to diversify our economy in Alaska. The thing that's most important about my testimony today is about the marketplace. So I'm here to testify that we have a lot of space in the marketplace to hire and employ engineers. We, CH2M Hill, and others in the industry are currently going outside of Alaska to hire our engineers. And I think we don't want to continue to import those engineers as our industries start doing more and more projects, and we need these engineers. Relative to the facilities, as you heard earlier, we have not enough facilities for the number of engineers, so I hope that you would support finishing the buildings, and thank you for allowing me to testify.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Let's go to Karen Jensen.
Hi, my name is Karen Jensen, and I live in Fairbanks, but today I'm representing, I'm the current president of the Alaska Library Association, and I'm here today to speak on behalf of the public library construction grants. As I'm sure you know, the libraries that have received these grants in the past have greatly appreciated the support, and they couldn't have completed their projects without the matching grants. Their communities now have improved facilities and better service for their patrons. The libraries that are applying for these grants have carefully planned for the expansions, garnered local support, matching funds, and they're ready to proceed with the construction projects. The applications are reviewed and ranked by the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Careful evaluation and vetting within the Alaska library community occurs as well, as I'm sure you've all seen the matrix that we work on every year. You can be assured that these projects have been well thought out and will move ahead in a timely manner. These are well-made investments in the future of Alaska's communities. The long-lasting effects of these grants will be sustained through many preschool story hours, community meetings, after-school tutoring sessions, summer reading programs, and adult educational opportunities. While many patrons access resources over the Internet, the libraries continue to be an important community gathering place. Working with patrons, peers, clubs, tutors, or neighbors face-to-face is still important. I know the legislature cares greatly about education, and libraries and education go hand in hand. When the schools are out for the summer, the library is the place, especially in the small communities, that kids can go to read, continue learning, and bridge the education gap that happens over the summer. The libraries serve all members of their communities from cradle to grave. I thank you for your past support of these projects, and I ask you to continue with this program for the libraries. I also want to put in a very quick plug for SLAM. I know you've probably heard other testimony about SLAM, and I know you know that delay in the SLAM project means an increased cost in the long run. So please consider supporting SLAM once again. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Karen. Let's go to Roger Burgraff.
Yes, I'm Roger Burgraff. I reside at 830 Sheep Creek Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. I've had a very close working relationship with the U of A since 1959, and I've seen many changes over the years, and it's been a pleasure working with young UA of University of Alaska College students and U of A graduates. And I'm very proud of what they have contributed so much to Alaska and the nation. Nick Olds with Kaminko Phillips gave a presentation last night at the UAF College of Engineering and Mining Banquet. He stressed the need for at least another 40 years of the university furnishing engineers for work on the slope. I am testifying in favor of two items in the budget. One is the UAF heat power plant and the necessity for authorizing funding for the new College of Engineering buildings, both in Fairbanks and Anchorage. Both are very essential projects for the university and accomplishing its mission of preparing students for future jobs. I think it's we're investing in the future by investing in the university, and it's really important that we provide the funding to have the two facilities completed in Anchorage and also the heat and power plant at Fairbanks. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Great. Thank you, Roger. Okay, Roger, or let's go to Tabor Raybon with the in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Senator Meyer and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I'm Tabor Raybon, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska, and I do thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of funding the Big Brothers Big Sisters capital request for the Mentoring for Educational Success Initiative. We understand that with limited resources, finishing projects will be a priority for you. We hope you will consider Mentoring for Educational Success in that light. Thanks to the legislature, we were able to start this initiative last year. Mentoring for Educational Success is a powerful partnership between Big Brothers Big Sisters and five school districts across the state to target children most at risk academically. We've made significant progress getting this project up and running, but have requested additional funding to expand the initiative and collect the data we need to make this project sustainable. Please help us fully implement this program. We want to sustain what you helped us start last year. With funding this year, we can improve the odds for more kids, more schools, and collect the data we need to go to other funders, and we would appreciate your consideration, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Tabor. Okay, we'll continue there in Fairbanks. Alan Hoza.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Hoza, and I am speaking in my comments are in support of the CAPSIS request, number 62349, the Alaska Development Corporation, the STEM, Science, Technology, and Engineering, and Math for Alaska, for Alaska's competitive economic competitiveness. The STEM Alaska programs are the type of programs that help to stretch young minds and push them out to bring out their best and to strive for success in all their endeavors. They help direct these students towards being high contributors in our society for sure. Speaking to the STEM program, FIRST Robotics, I've witnessed firsthand the positive impact that involvement in the FIRST Robotics program can have on the students who participate. My son is a senior in mechanical engineering, partly and actually majorly due to the involvement with the FIRST Tech Challenge Robotics program supported by STEM. I know of nearly a dozen other young men and women from Fairbanks alone who are in that program that year who are currently studying engineering. The first programs are strategic and they're focused towards skills such as critical thinking, communication, positive community interaction, teamwork, and problem solving, all skills that are desperately needed in our Alaskan workforce and communities. The validity of these programs are confirmed by the corporate sponsorships that come alongside STEM, providing these programs, proving these programs give employers what they're looking for. I personally was involved this year as a head judge in two First Tech robotics events. This was time well spent, and I had to convince or coax some 20 other high-level individuals, from teachers to professionals in technical and engineering trades, and to volunteer their time towards rewarding these students for their efforts and initiative. They were all extremely impressed with the passion, enthusiasm, tenacity, and overall the caliber of product these young minds were capable of. These are the things we're supporting in our Alaskan students, and I thank you for the support in the past, and I strongly urge support of the STEM Alaska program towards our kids' futures. And thank you, Senators.
Great. Thank you, Alan. Okay, let's go on to Dave. Is it Polinas Macer?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time today. My name is Dave Polinas Macer. I'm the Rural Energy Coordinator for Canada Chiefs Conference, a tribal consortium of 42 federally recognized tribes across the interior of Alaska. It's both my job and my passion to work with small communities every day on the energy challenges associated with living hundreds of miles from Alaska's main cities and transportation hubs. I'm commenting today on a little-known program that has been administered by the Alaska Energy Authority for the past 4 years, the Village Energy Efficiency Program, or VEEP, as it's commonly known. This program was previously funded through the Alternative Energy and Energy Efficiency line item in the capital budget. In fiscal year 13, it received $4.8 million in funding. In fiscal year 14, it received $2 million in funding. In fiscal year 15, it was not included at all in the governor's budget. The VEEP program funds energy efficiency projects in Alaskan communities with populations of 8,000 or less. The average state contribution per community that this program affects is $100,000 to $200,000. But the long-term benefits are far greater for both the community and the state. Between 2010 and 2012, eight interior communities in my region received just $324,000 worth of funding to implement efficiency measures. Alaska Energy Authority reports on these eight projects alone show the 10-year savings from that $324,000 was over $1.8 million. The savings to the state of Alaska's power cost equalization endowment was $527,000, and the 10-year savings to rural school districts was over $750,000. The Alternative Energy and Energy Efficiency Program was not funded in the fiscal year 2015 capital budget, and on behalf of TC communities and rural communities across the state, we are requesting this program be refunded at the fiscal year 2014 level of $2 million. The VEEP program is an investment in the state's future that provides a real and tangible benefit to Alaskans. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your testimony, Stan. Stan Leppert.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Stan Leppert. I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas. We're a 12-member commission that's attached to the Department of Natural Resources. The commission last summer embarked on a pretty ambitious program. We held a federal overreach summit in Anchorage, which was very well participated in by the congressional delegation, Governor Parnell, and a number of other members of Alaska's community. We developed a series of recommendations that we included in our annual report that we submitted to the legislature and to the governor earlier this year, and that was sort of the first step in our federal overreach effort. In order to see those recommendations fulfilled and implemented, we need to continue that work. Now, we've started that process, and this legislature has been very helpful in that, and reauthorizing the commission, the House passed the reauthorization bill earlier this year, and it's waiting action by the Senate. We're here today just to ask for some extra aid in terms of funding that federal overreach effort. We're afraid that without being able to continue that work, which is sort of an extra burden on the part of the commission, we'll not be able to fulfill those recommendations and make those happen. We're very concerned about the current overreach by the federal government in terms of regulatory action. We've seen preemption of state fish and wildlife regulations. We've seen preemption of the state's ability to manage its own lands and resources by the federal agencies. We're looking at major new regulations coming into play under the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act We're looking at major planning efforts by all the federal agencies. So we're just here today to ask for a little extra help in the capital budget for us to continue that work. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Let's go on now to Brenda Stanfill.
Yes, thank you. Hi, I'm Brenda Stanfill. I'm the Executive Director of the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living here in Fairbanks. I'd like to address two items that are currently funded in the capital budget, and that's the $2 million from Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to assist domestic violence victims where they can access housing quickly through the E-CHIP voucher program, and the $1 million in the Department of Public Safety to repair and maintain domestic violence shelters. Our agency here locally provides emergency shelter and independent housing options for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And our agency houses an average of 55 to 56 people per night, and that's in our emergency shelter. We also have two permanent supportive housing complexes. We offer transitional housing, and we assist women in getting into that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation E-CHIP voucher program. So being able to house people in these types of housing, it's crucial to the survival of victims and their families. We're providing operating support through the Department of Public Safety. However, oftentimes there really is only enough to operate our services, emergency shelter, advocacy, those kind of things, and not enough to adequately maintain the buildings that we have to have in order to provide these services. Currently, the Rasmussen Foundation has offered to match the $1 million in the current budget in order to assist us throughout the state to maintain our shelters and to provide these services in a safe and sanitary way. They have also said that if they were, if someone was able to offer an amendment to add another $1 million, they would offer a matching of another $1 million. So that would be $4 million that would be available statewide. We could so use this. I sit with all of my fellow directors at our network meetings, and I hear horror stories of things that they're facing. We were blessed through Dennis Weiss's donation of a new emergency shelter here in Fairbanks, but we can still use some really basic things that make the surroundings much better, such as new carpet, those kind of things that impact. Some shelters around the state are looking at battling mold in their walls due to leaking. They have frequent sewer backups. Their heating systems are going down in the middle of winter. One shelter talked about holes in their floors big enough that people could fall through. So we're really desperately in need of this funding, and I would ask that you would support this amount and consider adding in that extra $1 million. And the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's voucher program that was started back a few years ago and has been a tremendous benefit to victims of domestic violence and being able to access housing quickly. We've assisted 40 families to get into this program. Of those 40, 39 are still housed, and the one that is not is because she moved out of state, and she is permanently housed in that out-of-state location. So this has proven to be tremendously effective and would encourage your continued support of this program also. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy Burns.
Hi, my name is Peggy Burns, and I'm with the Salt Affair Association. We have 32 acres that we lease from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. 16 of those acres are developed. We have a ball field and a playground that the borough has maintained for us for the last, 14 years that I know of, but we've been in association. This is 33 years now. The borough had to make some budget cuts on outlying communities, and we were one of them. We are finding it very hard to maintain those grounds. The grass on that ball field is so thick, you can't put a push mower on it. Representative Isaacson tried last year. He got out there personally and mowed the grass, and he said, there's no way. It's just, we need something bigger. And we're struggling really hard to maintain these grounds for the community. They've got a lot of amenities for the community there. It gets used a lot. And we would like to be able to take care of it in a safe and healthy manner for the children that come over there and use the grounds also. And that's why I was here today requesting that you would consider our grant proposal to help us get in a position to where we can maintain the grounds on our own if need be. That way we won't have to be dependent on the borough to be out there to do that for us.
Okay, well, appreciate that, Peggy, and just for the record, Representative Isaacson is with us as well, as well as your two Fairbanks senators, three actually, excuse me, forgot Senator Hoffman, too. Okay, let's go on now to the mayor, Mayor Luke Hopkins.
Yes, thank you very much, co-chair Senator Myers and committee members. Of course, a call out to the three members that you just mentioned from the interior. I want to speak on economic development items that can and should be in the capital budget. Fairbanks North Star Borough Barnett Magnet School for $11.2 million for the final phase four that you heard Superintendent Lewis speak to. In the capital budget, the governor submitted $2 million for air quality mitigation. If I need to speak to that and how important it is for our community, I can, but I will. I would like to move on to both the incredible urgent need for UAF power plant replacement funding. I was there as a superintendent of maintenance when the whole campus went dark years ago from a aging power plant. But I also want to speak to the School of Engineering need to get that completed. And yes, I understand that we might have to share some of that with Anchorage. That's okay. Please support funding for the completion of the School of Engineering. 40% of our economy here is based on the military. And I ask you to support as much as $250,000 to match the local contribution that the Fairbanks North Star Borough contributes towards that effort of military stabilization here. You heard about BACLAP. We are wood users in the interior, and as I wrote in my letter of support, there are two great challenges: ensuring that there's sufficient biomass for use as a source of cost-effective renewable energy, and educational opportunities through STEM, which will bring our students closer to alignment with the 21st century workforce needs. Now, on a statewide issue that does affect us here locally, there's an ask of $400,000 for the Department of Commerce for Economic Development. Please keep that in the budget. And then you heard about statewide library grant, matching grant program. And I understand how it works, 50% match from the local community. This is important for communities across the state. And I say, stop by this summer and see our North Pole branch library. That's a replacement project. And enjoy the quality of life issue that our residents will share. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Okay, let's go to Matt Sue now for a little bit. Chuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Chuck Kosick. I serve as district manager for Los Angeles Soil and Water Conservation District and am a PERS retiree. And thanks for your service today and all you do for the state. I'm testifying today to support three projects or programs. Number one is Representative Gaddis' ATV-ORV stream crossing project. Its purpose is to assess, record, and rank salmon stream ATV crossings in the Core Valley watersheds, which take in about 2 million acres. Characteristics would involve biological, physical, natural resources, and user characteristics. We want to prioritize from best to worst, for example, projects 1 through 300. This work is vital and needed to obtain construction grants. Without this prioritization, we can't get other grants. So, for example, instead of 5 crossings, we work with users to identify 1 crossing at 1 location, making resource agency very, very pleased. Agencies involved, ADF&G, Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife Service, DNR, DEC, Riding Public, our industry, the 3 cities in the valley, numerous communities, the borough, the college, our schools, and youth. And let's be frank, ATV use is growing and not going away. Our salmon resources are vital. We wish to protect our resources while ensuring riders the right to responsibly ride. The second project I'd like to address is the funding for AECD. That's the Alaska Association for Conservation Districts. Its funding is slated at $1.2 million this year. Our overall mission in AECD is to support and to operate conservation districts throughout the state, 12 or so. We're involved in promoting conservation best practices, soil, water, ag, forestry, salmon, fishing, education, outreach, etc. Economically, every dollar invested in the conservation districts get a return of $6, so that's a $7 million investment. Agencies we integrate with on that level are DNR, Division of Ag, DEC, DCED, Division of Forestry, local governments, investments in our community councils and schools. The third item I'd like to address is the state retirement system. The basic point is that governor included a $3 billion transfer from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to the Retiree Trust in his FY15 budget. This cash infusion would not only help pay down the unfunded liability, saving approximately $2 billion in the long run, it will also allow the annual contribution from the state to the trust funds to remain around $500 million. Without this cash infusion, the annual contribution will soon exceed $1 billion, an unsustainable number. So in summary, I urge you to include the $3 billion transfer to the 2015 budget and fund the ATV-ORV project put forward by Representative Geddes, as well as the AACD funding. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Chuck. Okay, let's go to KJ Martin Albright.
Thank you. My name is KJ Martin Albright, and I live at 7171 West Wellington Drive in Kinnick, and I am employed as the Wesso Library Director. Today I'm testifying to respectfully request that $12.2 million be included in the state FY2015 capital budget as matching construction funds for public library building projects in the communities of Wasilla, Kaufman Cove, Nome, and Swanday. Since FY2011, the Legislative Leadership, House, and Senate Finance Committees and the Governor have approved over $52 million in 50% matching construction funds for 14 public library projects throughout the state. I personally find it notable that not one of those projects has come back to ask the legislature for additional funding, and that 9 have been completed and are open to the public, and the remaining are at some point in the building process. In Wasilla, we have been working on a new library building for almost 20 years. The library building project has gone through the FORECO pre-development program, which showed a documented need, examined opportunities for collaboration, and guided the city to the right size of a new 23,500-square-foot library building. Like the other libraries requesting these funds, we have appropriate facility and site plans, realistic budgets, and are financially sustainable. Not only has the City of Wasilla committed a site, the voters of the city passed a 1 cent sales tax increase, specifically to build and equip a new Wasilla library building. To repeat, the people of Wasilla taxed themselves to make it happen. Thank you for your past support of library construction projects. I hope to see your continued support of public library construction projects, and thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony today.
Great. Thank you, KJ. Let's move on then to Doug Griffin.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Doug Griffin. I'm the city manager for the city of Palmer. First of all, the city does support funding that in the existing bill. For projects, deferred maintenance projects at the Veterans Pioneer Home, the Palmer Correctional Center, the courthouse that was submitted as part of the governor's budget. There's also money in there for work on the Glen Highway in the Palmer area that we support, and for the Kibata project, and money to the borough for the rail extension over at Point McKenzie. However, the City of Palmer specifically has, through the CAPSIS program, has submitted its requests, and I won't go into all of those. We've worked very cooperatively with Senator Dunleavy and Representative Hughes's office, so they're very well aware of our needs. I will just hit on the highlights that the City of Palmer, as is its history, is asking for very basic kind of meat and potatoes projects, roads, street improvements, sidewalks near our schools. That's our number one priority, to match our funding that we've already secured from DEC to replace the 50-year-old water lines. This will be the last phase of replacing those water lines. We've got that funding, but we need some additional support to match what the city can do with regard to curb, gutter, sidewalks, lighting. We also have asked money to help us match what's going to, in the next couple of years, the need to repave the major north-south runway at the Palmer Airport. This is an airport that's provided for the use of Alaskans through the City of Palmer. It's not a state airport, but we are looking at a $9 or $10 million paving project, of which we have to come up with, along with the state, a small match. And so we are requesting funds for that. Also, we're looking at money to upgrade the depot, which is a well-used community center here in Palmer, and money to restore railroad tracks, service back to the City of Palmer, and finally, I won't hit all the things, we had an extensive list, but money, we're still working on trying to acquire state-owned property in downtown Palmer as part of the MAT-MADE property, and we are still pursuing ways to do that without the need for an appropriation. Anyway, that concludes my testimony. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Doug. Roger Purcell.
Thank you, Roger Purcell, Houston. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak today, including Senator Dunleavy, our senator from our area. Today I'm here to talk about the rail extension and a few other projects in the District 10 and the Matsu Borough. We would hope that you would fully fund the rail extension from the city of Houston all the way down to Fort McKenzie. It is an economic process for the whole state of Alaska, not just for the valley, and it will open up quite a few new jobs in the interior and in the borough and in the city of Houston. So we'd ask that you fully fund the rail extension. Next is the Connect Tribal, Matsu Resource Conservation, and Houston Chamber of Commerce is working not just on studies that helps in scientific stuff, but also on getting salmon back into the rivers up here. And you've all listened and been aware of the problems we've had in the Valley of No Fish. We're asking for a very small $75,000 grant to finish up a moisture incubation system on the Little Susitna River. Hope that would be consideration. It's a very small amount of money. Our first year expectations would be $500,000 coho back into the river and that, and then going on for kings the following year. The city of Houston has a very modest and needs-based CIP list that they sent in. Hopefully the fire department's air pack systems would be considered highly, along with the roads that were washed away during last year's floods for the upgrades that they're needing. There are bus routes in this area and that, and they do need to be upgraded. In the past, the city and District 10 has been, I feel, neglected on the state capital projects list and that, or their bus routes and that, a very small amount of funding for the amount of people and the distance, how large of a district that it is. So I would hope that you would consider their request on fully funding all their road projects inside the city. We fully support from the Chamber and Massey RCD, the Kubota, full funding for that. And finally, I'd like to talk about the seniors in Talkeena, the USSI request that they have for their funding for their building, which will help fund their senior projects along with their housing. And it's a modest amount of money. They already have the place to be able to get funding brought back in, and they'll be able to fund everything in their area with this small amount of money they're getting in that for the future, and that would not need any additional funding from the state. It's a great project. We'd ask that you consider that. And finally, the Valley Performing Arts is asking for a theater, and I thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Okay, I've got a couple more yet in Matsu, and then we've got some people off net, but then we're going to go to Anchorage, which we were supposed to start at a few minutes ago. So we're going to continue then at Matsu with Elizabeth Ripley.
Yes, Senator Myers, Senator Kelly, and members of the committee. My name is Elizabeth Ripley, and I'm the Executive Director of the Matsu Health Foundation. In recognition of your careful budgeting and appropriations, the Matsu Health Foundation offers support of four specific projects in CAPSIS: $250,000 for the pre-development program, $500,000 for a Recover Alaska project to pilot a one-stop shop to access substance abuse services, $4 million for the CCS Early Learning project, the Head Start provider for Matsu and Eagle River, and $8.2 million for the Wasilla Public Library. The Wasilla Public Library and CCS Early Learning Projects both graduated from the pre-development program, which is funded by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, Denali Commission, Rasmussen Foundation, and the Matsu Health Foundation. The program is administered by the 4-Acre Group and ensures that capital projects are well-planned, right-sized, and sustainable. Wasilla Public Library and CCS Early Learning Projects both meet these criteria, and the $250,000 request is to help us with this pre-development work. The Matsu Health Foundation has invested over $500,000 in the CCS Early Learning Project, and if the $4 million is not doable this year for CCS Early Learning, we ask that you prioritize a $1 million appropriation for FY15 to enable them to prep the site and complete the utility work. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, we'll continue in Matsu and then go off net. So, and also for the record, Senator Fairclough has been with us for some time. I didn't announce that. Molly Wood.
Hey,
Thank you, Senator Meyer and Senator Grzegowski and the members of the Senate Finance Committee, and in particular our own Senator Dunleavy. I'm a resident of Chase and a member of the board of the Chase Community Council, and I'm testifying today in particular to oppose allocation of funding for the Alaska Energy Authorities who sit in Owatonna Dam, specifically $10 million in the capital budget and the $32.7 million in the supplemental budget. In a previous local election that we held in Chase as an advisory vote, we found that the entire community was unanimously opposed to the dam. We feel this mega project does not address Alaska's most urgent energy needs, and it puts at risk our local economies and our salmon fisheries. We applaud the efforts of the members of this committee and other legislators to prioritize among the many mega projects on the books in an effort to make clear choices that reflect the best use of our limited resources and are in the best interests of Alaskans. And we do not think that this is one of those projects. I'd like to also add my voice in support of the use of those limited funds towards other projects that better meet those needs, like the natural gas pipeline, continuation of funding in support of a healthy salmon fishery returning to the Susitna and the Upper Cook Inlets, energy efficiency projects, including those in rural villages, and overall, thanks for the work that you're doing to make really tough choices at a time when our funds are limited and balance the budget overall. Thank you very much for listening to my testimony.
Great. Thank you, Molly. Okay. The last one there in Mat-Su is Beth Freed.
Thank you for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you giving us this opportunity to talk to you about the budget. I specifically encourage you to reinforce the governor's contribution of $3 billion to PERS. It looks like it's going to save us a lot of money. I also appreciate the funds that you have allocated to the Port Rail Extension, as well as the Kinnickahn Crossing. I'd like to see those go forward as much as possible. I am concerned that the airports in the Mat-Su borough have been ignored for several years. Their projects have been deferred, and that maintenance is costing money and endangering people at this point. Both the flooding in Talkeetna last year and the driving of equipment from Palmer to Big Lake for maintenance, both of those issues are becoming more critical, and I'd urge you to talk to the division about fixing those problems out here in the valley in our airports, at least scheduling them and identifying them as events that they can address. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me, and once again, I would really like to see that $3 billion in PERS, and I'm grateful to you for the larger projects as well as the gas line that are going forward.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to go off net now, and then, as I mentioned, we'll go to Anchorage and for you in the Anchorage LIO, and there's several, I apologize, we're running late and got started late. So, but we're going to continue on here with Sam Bryce.
Good afternoon, Senate Finance Committee members, and thank you for your time. My name is Sam Robert Bryce. I'm the president of Bryce Incorporated, a civil construction contractor based in Fairbanks and doing work in rural Alaska for over 50 years. Today I'd like to speak in support of additional funding for the Amonic Port Project. In support of our rural construction projects, we own and operate four sets of tugs and barges across Alaska. And over the past 50 years, we have worked on many airports and road improvement projects in Amonic. From this experience of hauling numerous barge loads of construction equipment, materials, and aggregates into Amonic, we are well aware of the acute need for this port improvement project. The project is shovel-ready with design and permitting work completed. $3 million of the estimated $16.6 million cost is already funded. Amonic is one of the largest communities on the lower Yukon River and as such is a hub for marine and aviation transport. The existing port facilities are not adequate to support the local fish processing operations and hub freight activities. Along with being a regional hub, Amonic is a strategic location for accessing the west coast of Alaska from the interior and vice versa. Bryce has utilized the Amonic port and staging area for numerous projects as we transport our construction equipment and materials to and from the Nana and West Coast Alaskan communities on the way to and from our projects and our home base in Fairbanks. Improved port facilities at Amonic will lower the cost of shipping materials and fuel throughout the lower Yukon River and surrounding coastal villages. We appreciate your efforts to move this project forward. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, off net still, Barbara Johnson, also in Fairbanks.
Senator Myers, thank you very much, and Senator Kelly and committee members, I appreciate your time this afternoon, and I am calling in to testify in behalf of DCCED's funding increment for economic development initiative funds for $400,000. We have been working very closely with DCCED on projects that not only benefit the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but statewide. And one major project that they have been assisting us with is for a booth space at Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International Conference, which is actually going to be in May in Florida. And it is phenomenal. We have DCCED, UAF, DMBA, Alaska Aerospace Corporation, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough working on this project. And for unmanned aircraft, the university actually has a world-class program, and this will be the first time we have a booth at this conference, which has over 8,000 attendees and 600 business vendors. In conjunction with that, DCCED is working on a statewide business strategy for unmanned aircraft systems as well, and they've also been instrumental in working on a mining Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada show in Toronto, and then also with our military projects for basing the F-35 and Great Eagle. So this funding is very, very important, not only to the borough, but statewide, and I really appreciate DCCED's efforts in working with us, and please continue supporting the funding for the $400,000 increment. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Larry DeVilbus.
Yes,
Mayor.
Gentlemen, this is Mayor Larry DeVilbus. Thank you for your service and your patience and making this available when we can't be in an LIO office. Because of the Mattsu Borough's growth, all of the heavy-hitting priorities that have been already approved by, and prioritized by our assembly are in the transportation realm. The rail extension down to Fort McKenzie is number one, and we support the Kinnikon Bridge crossing. I want to remind you about these bonds, road bonds that were passed last fall, conditioned on a 50% match from the state. We also have a substandard road request for $6 million, and we would very much like to be able to finish Bogart extension, which goes from Trunk Road back into Palmer. That's under construction as we speak, thanks to your already giving it a start last year, and we hope to be able to finish that next year in phase two. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for joining us today. Gail Vick with Fairbanks.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance. My name is Gail Vick. I live in Senate District C, Fairbanks. I am a 47-year resident of Alaska and a member of the Steering Committee for the Alaska King Crab Research Rehabilitation and Biology Program, which is called ACRAB for short. I am also the former director of the Gulf of Alaska Coastal Communities Coalition and a former commercial fisherman. I'm speaking in support of funding for the King Crab Project and continuing their research on red and blue king crab for the purposes of developing healthy crab broodstock as part of restoration and understanding of dietary and habitat needs. I've lived in Alaska long enough to remember years when we could get very large king crab in our personal use, subsistence, or commercial pots. King crab were not only an Alaskan icon, it was an important industry that sustained hundreds of Alaskans. That ended in the mid-80s when the stocks crashed. There were a few attempts at restoration, but never really sustained because of the complexity of the problem. That changed about 10 years ago when a group of stakeholders and scientists formed ACRAB. It was part of the original team developing the project in 2004. My role then was on behalf of the 45 Gulf of Alaska coastal communities that I worked with. This has been a highly successful collaborative project with many agencies, industry, organizations, and communities, but it has very significant costs. This project has helped immensely in our general understanding of crab ecology, but the primary goal is to help in the restoration of both red and blue king crab, a resource critically important not only to coastal communities, but to all Alaskans. I urge your continued support. I also speak in support of two other projects. One is the Amonic Port Improvement Project, as important to interior Alaska, as I work on a lot of salmon issues in the interior, and two, in support of the Barnett Magnet School in Fairbanks. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter at this very exceptional school. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Gail. Joe Griffith in Palmer.
Mr. Chairman, Joe Griffith here. I'm the General Manager of Matanuska Electric and the CEO of ArcTech, the Rail Belt G&T, made up of four utilities and Rail Belt, the big utilities. I want to speak in favor of a CAPSIS request that ArcTech has of $37.5 million for the Battle Creek diversion. That's a state project. ArcTech has accomplished many benefits this year. We've created reliability standards, open access. We have an ISO concept floating around Juneau as we speak, and we're putting a transco together also to operate the transmission system. We need to continue the Battle Creek diversion. That's worth several million dollars annually for the rest of Bradley Lake's lifetime. We must have an infusion of funds to keep it going, and that is a state project, incidentally. We need to continue fixing our transmission system. You know the details on it, and I won't bore you with all of what it is, but AEA did an in-depth study that shows upwards of $140 million worth of savings with a minimum fix on the transmission system, and that's annual. This is economic development. These are shovel-ready projects. The utilities have already spent over $1 billion putting generation in, and now we've got to have the transmission system to make it Bradley Lake and Wautana work. I appreciate your time and your efforts, and I'm available to talk further at any time. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, that's everybody in Fairbanks and the Mat-Su. So now we're going to head off to Anchorage. And starting in Anchorage is Joel Jones.
Good afternoon, Senator Meyer, members of the Senate Finance Committee. Thank you for giving us time to testify before you today. I am here in support of a request in CAPSIS from the Anchorage Community Land Trust, working specifically in Mountain View, a community of many challenges, but a community holding great promise. We appreciate the support that you have given over the last several years through the capital budget process, and we are asking for this additional grant to continue our removal of a blighted property and redevelopment and reinvestment in this community. We can't grow more land, so we have to use what we have smartly, and we must continue to then remove the blighted properties and redevelop and reinvest. What we have done so far with community gardens, renovations of old buildings, facade improvement programs are all going forward to make this a community of choice again. Mountain View is a wonderful place with wonderful families, and these children and young people need and deserve the efforts of being able to have a safe and vital community. It's a heavily pedestrian community. We're working with the transit department, public transportation, to improve access. We are working to bring more health care into this community because this is a forgotten and underserved, undeveloped community. So we're asking for your continued support in our request, and we know that there are a lot of people here today that want to testify, so I won't take very long. but again, appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate that testimony today. Yeah, we are trying to keep the testimony to 2 minutes, so thank you. Lance Wilbur.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Lance Wilbur. I'm the director of the Public Transportation Department for the Municipality of Anchorage, and there's a couple projects I'd like to encourage to support in the capital budget. The first one is a matching program that is supported and championed by the Alaska Mobility Coalition. It's an organization with a statewide membership and funding that's in the capital budget for matching that benefits not only Anchorage, but many other urban and rural communities inside the state of Alaska. We use these funds for the last 3 years, and we will be looking forward to using these funds to continue matching our federal program. In the past, we've used them to purchase buses. We've used them to upgrade our technology. We've bought Anchor Rides vehicles with them. We've also been able to use some of the money to match some federal funds that we are able to use to provide additional service, which we've provided in Mountain View, and we'll be putting more service to the VA starting in June. The other project that I would like the Senate Finance Committee to support is the Midtown Transit Center. Anchorage's transit for the last 40 years has really been hubbed in downtown Anchorage, which is a vital part of our service and will continue to be so. But Anchorage has developed a lot in the last 40 years. We have a lot of development in South Anchorage and out in East Anchorage. And we're looking forward to our next 40 years, and one of those key steps is to relocate the hub of our operations in Midtown. So support for this effort to get it started would be very much appreciated, and that's it. So thank you very much for your consideration and your time.
Great. Thank you, Lance. Lois Epstein. Lois, you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, and other members of the Senate Finance Committee. Again, my name is Lois Epstein. I am a licensed civil engineer in Alaska, and I live in Anchorage. I am the former director of the Alaska Transportation Priorities Project, a transportation watchdog organization, and currently the Arctic Program Director for the Wilderness Society. I released a report on March 25th entitled Easy to Start, Impossible to Finish 3. Alaska spends millions on roads, bridges, and energy development studies without the financial resources to complete the projects. Each of your offices has a copy, and I request that the report be posted on BASIS. The bottom line is that the state has in hand only 8% of the approximately $17 billion needed to complete 10 transportation and energy projects currently planned, not including the greatly increased cost to the state for the gas line project under SB 138. The report also shows that state debt service would nearly quadruple if all of these projects were pursued. The state needs to make choices, and several of these projects do not warrant pursuing. The three key projects I urge the legislature not to fund at this time in SB 119 are, one, the proposed Amble Road at $8.5 million for fiscal year 2015. The Parnell administration has gotten ahead of itself on Amble Road by appropriating nearly $18 million to date, with another $24 million proposed over the next 3 years to refine road details before there is a well-developed business plan for these currently speculative mines, and without ensuring local government support, which ADA must have. In addition, the project will result in little state revenue. Also, if Nova Copper decides that its mine at Ambler is not viable, the $42 million spent by the state will have been wasted money. There are 7 local resolutions against the road at this time, and ADA requires local support to proceed. Project number 2, the proposed Kinnikon Bridge of $55 million in SB 119. On April 6th of last year, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee issued its report on Kibata with the following recommendation. Quote, Kibata management should revise traffic and toll revenue projections to address deficiencies. It adds, overstated traffic volume in Kibata's modeling process has the effect of overstating projected toll revenues, unquote. This committee, the Finance Committee, should not provide any additional money to Kibata without these new projections, as they are likely to show very limited traffic on the toll bridge. Project number 3 is the proposed Juno Road at $35 million in SB 119. Because the state lost a key court decision several years ago for developing an inadequate analysis of this project and has not yet issued a revised analysis, the Finance Committee should not provide any additional money. Once it undergoes rigorous review, I'm confident the legislature will find this project provides few benefits and at an enormous cost. These three requests for cuts total nearly $100 million in savings. The state's budget is increasingly constrained, with maintenance needs growing, with reduced federal funding and state transportation needs likely in the future. Meanwhile, oil revenue is declining due to reduced production and passage of SB 21 oil tax cuts. In February 2013, University of Alaska economist Scott Goldsmith estimated that the state already is spending $2.1 billion more than it can afford if it wishes to live within its means.
Okay, Lois, your time is up.
Real needs like education,
Lois.
Including school capital upgrades.
Lois, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your time is up.
Such as unsafe bridges before funding quote-unquote wants. There currently is over $2 billion, that's billing with a B, in deferred maintenance needs for the state, much of it for transportation in the University of Alaska. No one believes all the transportation and energy projects in the Easy to Start report will...
Lois, your time is up. I apologize for having to interrupt, but we're holding everybody to 2 minutes. So thank you for your testimony, and I know you were down here as well in general, and we heard your testimony there. So thank you very, very much. Let's go on to Rebecca. Rebecca Pirsch. Rebecca?
Hey, this is Susie Pearson.
Can't hear you, Rebecca.
And Rebecca will come on.
There you go. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's better.
Okay. I'm the executive director for Abused Women's Aid and Crisis Awake in Anchorage. I want to thank the committee and Chair Myers and recognize Senator Faircloth for allowing us to testify today. There are three things that I'd like to address. First is Awake's request of $2 million, sponsored by Senator McGuire, to expand our existing facility to meet demand. Awake's been providing domestic violence victims with safety and support since 1977. The agency has been in the same building for nearly 35 years. The FORCA Group's pre-development program analyzed Awake's space needs, and they found that Awake is in need of over 5,000 square feet in order to meet the demands for the critical services of safe shelter and support that we provide. When comparing domestic violence services in communities of like size in the lower 48, there are anywhere from 4 to 6 agencies and twice the number or more of emergency shelter beds. Awake is the only domestic violence emergency shelter in a community of 290,000 people, and often helping people from coming from around the state and coming to Anchorage. Our 52-bed shelter has been full. The shelter is at or over capacity 50% last year. Intake rooms are full, and victims in crisis wait until space is available. Prevention work is critical to ending the cycle of violence, and Awake is behind the curve with only one full-time educator. We have limited the expansion of services because we do not have the space to accommodate more staff. The proposed request would help Awake begin the process of developing the much-needed expansion of our facility. Awake needs this $2 million to achieve this. Second, the governor has requested funding for the repair and renovation of domestic violence shelters throughout the state. These dollars are not the same as Awake's request for funding, which is to expand. The governor's requested funds are specific to repair and renovation and are critical to supporting the many shelters throughout the state. Domestic violence shelters are an integral part of community safety in Alaska. Finally, I want to thank all of you for funding AHFC's eCHIP program. This program has helped countless victims in achieving safety. Communities all over the state have been struggling with housing issues, and victims of domestic violence have limited options, and one of them is very terrible to consider, which is returning to a home filled with violence. By approving eCHIP funding, you've helped people leave situations they might not have in the past. You've really saved lives. These are serious requests during challenging times. However, this is an investment in the continuum of emergency services in every community that is fortunate to have a safe place for victims of domestic violence. I ask that you approve the $2 million request for Awake's expansion and the funding request for repair and renovation of domestic violence shelters throughout Alaska. Thank you so much for your service and what you do for our state.
Okay, and was this Rebecca or Susie?
This was Susie, and now Rebecca will
Okay.
Appreciate it.
I think Senator Faircloth has a quick comment or question.
Mr. Sherman, no, I just wanted to clear the record that was Susie Pearson, the executive director of Awake, and next then will be Rebecca.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, Rebecca, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Chairman Myers and members of the committee. Thank you for hearing us testify today, for the opportunity to testify. With the support of Senator McGuire, AWAKE has requested $2 million in the capital budget to expand AWAKE's current facility. My name is Rebecca Pierce, and I have been with AWAKE for approximately 4.5 years. All of that time has been spent within the emergency shelter. AWAKE is, as you know, the only emergency shelter in Anchorage that offers services specific to domestic violence victims and their families. We consistently operate over capacity. Speaking personally, I can't tell you how many times my staff and I have agonized over how to bring a victim and her children into the safety of the shelter because we were too full to do so, but her risk was too great not to. Very often women are made to sleep in twin beds with their small children, sometimes three to a bed, so that we can accommodate the constant demand for safety for incoming families. Because the wake of the 24-hour facility, already traumatized and displaced victims of violence are unfortunately woken up in the middle of the night to move as we try to accommodate very limited bed space for arriving families. During the day and evening, our emergency shelter staff, 4 case managers, and 9 advocates and children's advocates attempt to meet with participants while sharing one case management office, the only available meeting space inside of our emergency shelter. Oftentimes it is occupied and clients in crisis have to wait to meet privately with advocates or talk about very personal details of their lives in a non-confidential or private space. There are 2 very small intake rooms in the front of the building. Those 2 rooms are used by 8 case managers and 6 advocates who maintain very large caseloads of non-residential clients and members of the community who come in for information and or support. In one room, which is 250 square feet, there are 4 staff working, which creates challenges for private conversations with participants on the phone or in the room. In another, 13 members of our staff share space with participant files and program supplies. This is not conducive to effective case management services and private discussions for some of Anchorage's most vulnerable citizens. This expansion would increase the shelter by 12 beds, create more working space and privacy to meet with participants, and allow for program development and partnerships to provide multiple services on site. I ask that you approve AWAKE's much needed request so that we can meet the increasing demands for services. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Rebecca. And thank you, Rebecca and Susie, for everything you guys do there. Let's move on now to Steve Sumida.
Thank you. My name is Steve Sumida. I'm with Tanagusix Corporation, a village corporation for St. Paul. My comments are directed in support of USAC Library's $10 million renovation request. The CEO of Tanagusix could not be here. He asked me to speak on behalf of Tanagusix and on behalf of USAC Library's support to rural villages. USAC Library provides a lot of services in rural Alaska, which TDX and the community of St. Paul has been a beneficiary. They provide ready-to-read program that provides bins for parents of young children, birth to 3 years old, where they can read to their children in several different formats. They also provide 800 reference service, interlibrary loan, and they also provide a critical service of library startup books. And they provide that to St. Paul at the tune of almost 3,000 books from their discard, utilizing their community outreach services as well as volunteers from Friends of the Library. This is a very important service because the internet is not in a lot of villages. Where it does exist, download speeds are very slow, and it's very important to have these resources, and it's very important that there's a focal point that can provide these efficiently in the villages, and they do it for free. The bins are sent out to the rural communities for free, and we request that you support USAC's request in this matter. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Steve. Cheryl Lovegreen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to constituents today. I'm Cheryl Lovegreen, a volunteer with the Anchorage Public Library, and I'm here to support the request for $10 million for our Lusac Library renovation. The new entrance will address the immediate building safety, energy efficiency, and accessibility issues. We have struggled for years with the existing entrance and desperately need one that is safe, welcoming, and easy to find. This standalone project will transform the building and the way we use it. The $10 million will allow us to remove the current impractical stairs, terrace, and glass ceiling, extend the building out to create a bright, open public space in front of Assembly Chambers and Marston Theater, move the circulation desk to the first floor, and create a drive-up indoor book drop. About our recent municipal bond vote, we're getting feedback that support was lackluster, not because of the library, but because of confusion over the language of the bond and the number of other projects included in the bond. We appreciate the 18,818 people in the initial vote count who voted for the library bond. The library has support in our community. Thanks again for the opportunity to talk with you and for your service to the state of Alaska.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl, for your testimony. Let's go now to, is it Mannion Schwartz?
Mannion Schwartz.
Okay. All right, Mannion, go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here to testify in support of the Lusac Library entrance renovation, a $10 million request pending before you today. One of the first things that I did when I moved here to Anchorage was to get a library card. And I drove to Lusac Library to do that. Once I finally found the entrance, which I admit took me a while, I found a physical building whose condition just didn't reflect the level of the importance of the institution to this community. I'm told that just under 2 million items circulated in 2013, which means about 90,000 items circulated every month last year from Lusac Library. So I'd like you to take just a minute to think about how important that number is in reflecting the use of this building and its resources by the residents of this community. 72,000 residents participated in programs at Lusac Library last year, which represents a double-digit increase from 2012. Clearly, these numbers speak to the vibrancy and vitality and growth of the intangible space that the Lusac occupies in our community, but the physical space needs work. The entrance renovation enjoys broad support from many institutions in our community, including the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, the Cook Inlet Housing Authority, TDX Corp., and many community councils. The design for the entrance renovation was guided by a comprehensive facility master plan, which itself was the result of a year-long process involving input from thousands of community members. In short, I urge that you fund the renovation of the entrance to this vital and well-loved community center. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, let's go on now to Shelley. Shelley Morgan.
Thank you, Senator Meyer and Senate Finance Committee members. My name is Shelley Morgan, and my son is a third-grade student at Susitna Elementary School here in Anchorage and in the optional program. And I'm a member of the Susitna Elementary PTA, and I'm here to support two funding requests that our school has. Our school is over 40 years old and is in dire need of replacement of our furniture and fixtures for the safety of our students. In my son's classroom alone, some of the tables are very rickety and many of them won't last for another year. If any furniture were to break while the children are in the classroom, it would present a very dangerous situation that we would very much like to avoid. Students currently store their belongings on hooks and in tiny cubbies in the hallway, and this old design does not provide adequate storage of their personal materials and belongings. Coats and shoes fall onto the floor and create a big hazard when the students or adults try to walk through the hallway to the classroom. They have to use brooms to try to push the materials over to the side because so many things are falling throughout the day. In fact, my son's new shoes disappeared from his cubby just a few weeks after we got them and because of the inadequate storage design. So granting the funding request that we have for $175,000
for new furniture and new fixtures would allow more safety for our students and safer storage of their belongings. In addition, we're also asking for $50,000 for STEM professional development and materials. Each year, our school participates in STEM Night, and we'll have ours next week, where we bring in businesses and members of the community to provide STEM-related activities for our students and get them thinking about science, technology, engineering, and math. The funds that we're requesting for STEM will give our teachers the tools that they need so that our students can become innovative leaders in science, technology, engineering, and math-related fields, helping our community and economy become stronger going into the future. My testimony today represents the requests of many others who sit in the elementary parents as we ask the legislature and the Senate Finance Committee to include these requested funds for Susitna Elementary School in this year's capital budget. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. Yeah, it does look like we have several to speak on that issue. Jacob Olson.
Good afternoon, distinguished members of the Senate Finance Committee. I'd like to start by thanking you for your time and consideration today. I am also advocating for Susitna Elementary School. I have a first grader, a kindergartner, and a kindergartner coming on board there next year. The first project description that I'd like to endorse is the replacement of 30-plus-year-old student desks and installation of cabinets and lockers for teachers and student storage. Our school's open concept design does not provide for safe or adequate storage of teacher and student materials and belongings. Updated classroom furniture and fixtures for our K-5 school to accommodate, innovate, interactive teaching and learning practices and technology conducive to preparing students for the 21st century workplace. I'm basically reading off a script here and pretty nervous, but I've been in the school several times, and it's not current to what I saw when I was in school over 14 years ago. Boy, a little over-nervous. At any rate, we need to update our 40-plus-year-old classroom furniture with innovative furniture that is easily reconfigured to meet a variety of interactive, cooperative teaching and learning needs. A more effective and efficient way to store student belongings, eliminating the tripping hazard of items falling on the floor throughout the course of the day. Closed student storage will help us coattail the spread of lice, bed bugs, etc. from personal items, coats, and boots being stored side by side on open hooks. It will provide better security for students' personal belongings. If this project is not funded, our students will have to continue to work in classrooms that are not up to date, impacting their ability to participate in a wide variety of learning configurations needed in a more contemporary educational setting. The second thing that I'd like to address, of course, is professional development and materials funding.
Jacob, I'm afraid you used up your 2 minutes. It goes by fast. I apologize. Now, I want to remind everybody that we have emails that are printed out, and we're looking at those as well as hearing the testimony. So if there's anything else you want to add, Jacob, please send that to us. And then also, I have a list here of folks in Anchorage who want to testify, as well as some folks off net. And if you haven't signed up by now, then definitely do send in your testimony. Okay. So with that, let's continue on with Kim. Is it Kim Batista?
Batista, thank you so much. I'm the principal at Susitna Elementary School, and this is my sixth year there. And we want to first give a shout-out to Senator Farquhar, who has visited our school twice this year, and we really appreciate her coming in and seeing firsthand the needs of our school community. So, related to the furniture and fixtures, it's very antiquated. A lot of the furniture doesn't allow for easy movement and reconfiguration for students working in small groups, as well as, you know, individual real quick reconfigurations. We also, with respect to STEM, we've had a number of teachers trained, but we need to continue extending that opportunity to get teachers so that they have the skills necessary to really address science, technology, engineering, and mathematics at a higher, deeper level for our students. We have a number of ELL students, which is English language learners, as well as students from low socioeconomic households who truly will benefit from the opportunities that their experiences and education in this area will allow them in the future. So we thank you in advance for your remembering CSNF fondly this year and favorably, and I trust that you'll take care of us. Thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to speak.
All right, Kim. Thank you very much for your testimony. And again, for those who want to send us information, the LIO person there should be able to give you the email address to send it to. Otherwise, you can send it to either my address or Senator Kelly, and we'll make sure the information gets to all us finance members. Okay, let's go to Pete Stokes. Pete?
Thank you, Senator Meyer and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Pete Stokes. I'm a licensed petroleum engineer and a commercial manager at Petrotechnical Resources of Alaska. I'm the chair of the UAF College of Engineering and Mines Advisory and Development Council. I would like to ask you to include in your capital budget the funding required to complete the engineering buildings started at both UAA and UAF campuses. Total funding required to complete them is $79 million. 46 of it would be at UAA and $33 million at UAF. The funding is for the completion of these buildings that were started to meet the needs of the crowded classrooms and labs due to increasing enrollments of Alaska engineering students. These buildings are not completed in a timely manner. There will be cost increases due to unnecessary shutdowns and startups. Additionally, during the construction of these buildings, there's a lot of space and parking issues at both campuses, and the buildings sit unfinished while engineering rooms are overcrowded. There's large support from industry to hire Alaska-educated engineers. It's very expensive for companies to bring engineers to the state, train them, and then have the risk of them not staying. Alaska's engineers trained in Alaska are exposed to designing for Arctic engineering impacts. They're also used to living in Alaska conditions and enjoy the environment. The legislature is working on enabling legislation for a partnership for the state and producers to jointly move forward with Alaska LNG export. This will lead to large engineering demands for the design, construction, and future development of oil and gas on the North Slope and the OCS. I also believe the use of state funding to increase engineering capacity is a great investment in the future engineering talent that will come from our own schools and high schools. Thank you for hearing about the completion of these engineering buildings, and I appreciate all your efforts.
Great. Thank you, Pete. Okay, let's go on now to, and by the way, Pete, we did get an email from you as well. I appreciate that. Gloria Manny.
Chairman Myers and other members of the Senate Legislative Finance Committee, I'm here to testify on a proposal by Senator Leslie McGuire that calls for the reappropriating the unallocated amount of last year Project 80's appropriation to the Anchorage Library. I would say that in no way the multipurpose facility will be slighted, because the municipality of Anchorage has a specific appropriation, grant request for $10.5 million that should be more than sufficient to provide for those needs, while the Project 80s have been suffered over the years through the, really maintenance and upgrades are extremely important, and you've heard about the benefits of the LUSAC library statewide, and so I really support Senator McGuire's proposal. And on the small side of things, because it's very close to where I live, there is a $200,000 request for the complete the upgrades of the exterior of the Dempsey Anderson Ice Arena, and I would appreciate if that could be taken care of too. I will follow up with an email, and I thank you very much for your attention. Again, I'm here in support of Senator McGuire's proposal. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thank you, Gloria. Brian Saylor.
Good afternoon, Senator, members of the committee. My name is Brian Saylor. I've been active in public health in Alaska for many years and come to you today as a member of the Alaska Asthma Coalition and on the leadership committee of the Anchorage Lung Association. Asthma is a lifelong disease. Many of us have friends or relatives who suffer from this, and we see them wheezing and breathless and chest tightness, coughing. During an asthma attack, airways become inflamed, making breathing difficult. We'd like to contribute to the control of asthma in our community, and I'm advocating today for an FY15 appropriation to continue the asthma control program for one more year. In FY13, we were happy to receive funding for the asthma control program with the intent of getting state operating funds. It didn't happen. The federal funds didn't happen that year. And we were able to stretch the funds over a full two-year program. However, this year we won't be able to do that anymore, and we are unable to apply for federal funds until next year. According to the Center for Disease Control, public health asthma control programs have a return on investment of about $71 for every $1 expended. And we believe that over $30 million in Alaska Medicaid dollars could be saved through stronger asthma control programs. This baseline public health program would continue to implement the Alaska Asthma Plan in order to reduce asthma deaths, reduce Medicaid costs in Alaska, improve quality of life for Alaskans with asthma. Specifically, reaching these goals will improve asthma control, thus reducing hospitalizations, emergency room visits, activity limitations, and missed school and work days. So our request for about $373,000 on behalf of the Alaska Asthma Coalition could implement the Alaska State Asthma Plan for FY15. The CAPSIS number is 62429. Thank you very much. I urge your support of this measure.
Great, Brian. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Trina Landlord.
Good afternoon. My name is Trina Landlord. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Native Arts Foundation here in Anchorage. We understand that the Senate views nonprofit grants as more appropriate for the capital budget instead of the operating budget as proposed by the governor. We request that the Senate include our funding in the capital budget. We recognize that this fiscal environment in which the legislature is having to make budget decisions. We ask that the Senate Finance Committee adopt a measured approach in the capital budget by which grants will be reduced by 25% each year as approved to the House's version of the operating budget. This will enable Alaska Native Arts Foundation to have time to reposition the role it plays in economic development by assisting Alaska Native artists in many sectors, including education, tourism, economic development, and rural Alaska sustainability. Your continued support means investing in small businesses for artists as entrepreneurs and marketing resource for Alaska Native artists. Thank you for your time and for your service.
Great. Thank you, Trina. Let's go to Don Rogers.
Good afternoon, Senators. A week or so ago, I wrote each of you a letter, and I'd like to take just a minute to reiterate and perhaps dilate a bit. I'm on the board of Partners for Progress, and one of our projects is the Partners Reentry Center. The goal is to reduce recidivism, and thus the budget of the Department of Corrections. The hope is that we will save the department many millions of dollars over years, but I personally regard the reentry project as an experiment, and therefore I ask that you continue our funding this year, $600,000, as well as next year, but I think this experiment needs to be run for several years before we know whether it is successful. The evidence at the beginning is that it will be, because we've had many more people come through our doors than I ever expected. So thank you for your time, and I urge you to reappropriate the $600,000. Thank you.
Very good, Don. Thank you very much. And it is a good program. Kathleen McLaughlin.
Thank you. I'm Kathleen McLaughlin. I'm the program director of Partners Reentry Center, and I may not be as short as Dr. Rogers in his testimony, but I'll try to be. Since we opened 7.5 months ago, we have served 580 individuals who are coming out of incarceration. We are having and seeing 1 to 2 hires every day, meaning that between 38 and 50 people are getting hired every day out of the center. And we're also starting collaborations with employers as well as landlords, private employers and private landlords, who are willing to rent and to employ our participants because they are showing levels of success that we did not expect, nor did the employers or the landlords. Community-based reentry programs work. A lot of other states have tried it, and as a result, Alaska's experiment here, I think, is on its way to being very successful. With respect to our center, we are serving people from all around the state because most people are released into Anchorage. And as a result, this is a statewide reentry issue, and we are seeing a lot of individuals from all different areas of the state, the villages and the towns. It's a positive, socially positive, and a very cost-effective program. We only have 9 employees of AmeriCorps volunteers who are working very enthusiastically to make this project successful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony, Kathleen. Let's go now to Anna. Anna Bruninger. Sorry, Anna.
A horrible name. Don't worry about it.
It's a nice name.
Thank you guys for spending your Saturday listening to testimony. I'm here to testify for the $10 million capital budget, fiscal year 15, funding for the public library revamp, whatever you want to call it. I'm a member of the Boards of the Friends of the Library. We donate about $90,000 a year to the library to put books on the shelves and sponsor critical library projects like like the summer reading program and other things like that. The Anchorage Library Foundation, which is another the Anchorage Foundation Library raised over $14 million for the neighborhood library renovations, including the Mountain View Library, which is used all the time. And it is committed to the full realization of this new LUSAC renewal and will lead a coinciding capital campaign along with the $10 million from the legislature, if you can give us that. We have funding in hand for the design phase, and the project is almost shovel ready, but we need the actual funding for the doing of the renovations. I want to thank you for all your past grants to the library. We really appreciate them. And again, I would like you to support the capital budget for the LUSAC Library renovation. Thank you.
Great. Anna, thank you very much. Janice Jones.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and I want to thank you for managing to stay awake through all of this today.
I couldn't do it, I'll tell you that. My name is Janice Jones. I'm with Money Management International, and we are the next-door neighbors of the Partners in Progress program. I would like to endorse that program very much. I have seen personally, as I do credit counseling and credit report reading for the prisoners' reentry program, I've seen the dignity, the hope, and the progress that those prisoners are making, and I would highly endorse the $600,000 for that. As a consumer, I would much rather pay to assist a program that is going to make those prisoners a successful member of society rather than pay our prison system to house them and have them sitting on their behinds behind bars while I pay for it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Great. Thank you very much, Janice. Kathy Gleason.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I'm Kathy Gleason. I'm immediate past president of Turnagain Community Council and still heavily engaged as a board member and past president of the council. And each year the council is given an opportunity to rank parks and roads and drainage projects within our neighborhood for capital improvements. And last year our list was submitted to the municipality and we were happy to see that our number one and two road and drainage projects ended up in the Anchorage legislative request list, as well as our number one, two, and three park projects. Specifically, it's West Northern Lights at Alaska Railroad overpass, a drainage improvement project. During breakup, as I was on my way down here, it reminded me how important that project is because a lot of water pools in that area and makes driving difficult. Turnagain Boulevard is a really important road in our area that has major drainage issues during this time of year and any time where there's heavy runoff or the multiple spring breakups that we now seem to be having throughout our winter-spring period. Our parks, Point Warren's off Overlook, Earthquake Park, and Lloyd Steele and Balto Sepala Parks, where we'd like a loop trail to be able to run through both of those, and we now have a nice bridge that connects the two parks, but we don't have a trail that actually could be looped through both of them. They're all important projects, and I hope they see some funding this year. I also support Senator McGuire's reappropriation proposal for the $4.4 million that, to our community council's knowledge, has not been spent yet on an indoor tennis facility at Dempsey. Literally within the last day, I heard rumors that the mayor and Alaska Tennis Association is moving forward with the design of an inflatable dome-type facility so that they can use that $4.4 million that would be located next to the Dempsey Ice Arena. The community council has not heard, no one has told anything to the council about this new proposal. It would be a completely different facility than what we were presented to last year and that we worked heavily on with the municipality and ATA in terms of design and functionality next to the Dempsey Ice Arena. But there are significant issues with putting an indoor tennis court facility next to Dempsey,
Kathy,
that have not been addressed.
Kathy, and your time is up. Kathy, your time is up. I'm sorry. We're trying to keep everybody to 2 minutes. So, feel free to send us an email, senate.finance.committee@akleg.gov, and the LIO person there should have that address as well. Okay, let's move on to Mike Abbott. Mike, still there?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Abbott. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Anchorage School District. First, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the superintendent and the board for many years of generous support for Anchorage School District capital projects. I'm here today to speak specifically in favor of a grant, a consolidated grant between the municipality and the Anchorage School District for $12 million for Yosemite Road improvements and drainage reconstruction. This is a project
that is required to comply with municipal municipal regulations that trace back to the initial construction of Eagle River High School. As I said before, it's a joint request of the municipality and the school district. In fact, it'll be constructed by the municipality on behalf of the school district. This is the superintendent's personal number one priority amongst all the school district grant requests that you have because of its importance in terms of meeting municipal municipal requirements. Again, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for your consideration of this and many, many other Anchorage School District requests.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. Okay, we're going to go off-net now to the remaining off-net folks in Anchorage, and then we're going to Homer and Seward, and I apologize to those folks for running a little bit over time here. Martin Lang.
Senator Meyer, members of the Senate Finance Committee, good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to testify today. My name is Martin Lang, and I'm the principal at Eagle River High School in the Anchorage School District. I'm calling to testify in support of the Yosemite Drive Drainage and Road Upgrade Project. As a principal, I'll be honest, roads aren't usually my primary area of concern. However, in this case, this is a project of great interest to my community and one that ties directly into the school. As Mike Abbott referenced, the design work for this project is currently funded and in process, and the capital grant money from the state will allow the Anchorage School District and the Municipality of Anchorage in a joint project to move forward on construction of Yosemite Drive to make sure it meets urban collector standards and finalize the plat for our school, which opened in 2005. The completion of this project will ultimately provide a roadway more appropriate to the volume of vehicle and pedestrian traffic experienced on Yosemite Drive each day, both to the high school and to the Eagle Point subdivision just beyond the school, and upgrade drainage in the area. Additionally, it will bring closure to a project that has, at times, created some animosity between the district and neighboring residents. In general, the neighborhoods adjacent to Eagle River High School are hugely supportive of our school, and we want to maintain our positive rapport with them. Completing the Yosemite Drive project will go a long way towards continuing that positive school-community relationship. Funding from the state will also help to alleviate a significant financial burden to the district and allow our efforts and budget to continue to focus on providing the best educational opportunities for students in our schools. I know you have many, many requests before you, and I recognize this is an expensive project. I hope you'll be able to consider it in this year's capital grants. Thank you for your past support of our high school, especially the ongoing support from Senator Faircloth and all the ways you're seeking to adequately fund public education this year. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Martin. Brenda Bogoweth.
Hello. Thank you, Senator Meyer and Senator Keller, members of the committee, for this opportunity to discuss the budget. My name is Brenda Bogoweth. I am from Eagle River, and I also serve as the executive director for the Alaska Brain Injury Network. And I'd like to speak in favor of our tax request for $200,000 for funding for technology enhancements. The reason for this request is to improve our outreach education and preventative efforts that we are providing statewide. Traumatic brain injury right now is the major cause of death and disability is one of the major causes of death and disability in the United States. And in Alaska, we have the highest rate of traumatic brain injury, particularly in the Northwest Arctic region. And 30% of all deaths are occurring nationwide due to traumatic brain injury. Some of the major risk factors, number one, falls, number two would be motor vehicle accidents, and the third major risk factor is assault. Right now, we are a staff of three at our agencies, and the lifespan of our equipment to do outreach and education has lived its life. What we would like to do is continue with our resource navigation efforts and provide further education. We serve as an online community hub, and we would like to eventually become an information clearinghouse for traumatic brain injury survivors across Alaska. By increasing our office bandwidth and upgrading our hardware and our software and office machines, we can establish virtual brain injury support groups, conduct distance education, preventative presentations, and video conferences with survivors and their families.
We can also expand our reach to the medical communities and bring information to these remote service providers. We'd like to migrate our server storage to a cloud-based system, which will lower our annual maintenance repairs and replacement costs. And we would certainly like to redesign our website that will allow our agency to engage our consumers statewide. Our organization is the only statewide agency in Alaska that is providing these services. With a staff, again, of 3 people, we need to look at technology to fulfill our mission and our goals. Again, I thank you for the time and effort that you put into serving our state, and thank you for listening to my testimony.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. And then the last one I have off net out of Anchorage is Kathy Trump. Kathy, you still with us? Okay, I don't see Kathy. Perhaps she can call in a little bit later. Okay, so let's go to Seward now. That concludes the Anchorage area. And again, if there's additional folks who wanted to testify, please do send us your comments. In Seward, we have Ron Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Long, representing the city of Seward. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you in support of our Seward Marine Industrial Breakwater project. Between the statewide transportation bond package and last year's legislative appropriation, we are $20 million towards that almost $28 million project. We've used some of that money to get permitting done and a 65% design and engineering towards construction. As part of that effort, we've also used the state's Alaska Vocational Technical Center ship bridge simulator with some Southwest pilots, marine pilots, tug and barge captains, other experts, where we used a live exercise in all sorts of weather conditions virtually and reconfigured the channel entrance, sent that back to the engineers, and peeled $2 million off the construction cost, eliminated the sheet pile element so that will save us operating and maintenance costs after construction. Not often, Mr. Chairman, we get a chance to come back to you and tell you that our cost estimate has gone down. In this case, instead of the $7.9 million in our CAPSIS request, we ask for your consideration for $5.9 million to move this regional and statewide impact project towards the finish line. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ron, for that testimony. And also, for the record, Senator Olson has joined us. Okay, all right, let's go to Miranda Weiss in Homer.
Miranda had to leave, but she wanted us to let you know that she was here in support of the Pratt Museum.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, it looks like we have others testify on the Pratt Museum. Let's go to Diane Converse.
Thank you. I'm Diane Converse, representing the Pratt Museum, and I'm speaking in support of the Pratt Museum's capital project request. This nationally recognized award-winning museum holds 24,000 objects, historic photographs, and works of art that tell the natural and history stories of this region. These collections urgently need better storage and improved access. Thousands of learners of all ages from near and far visit the museum each year. The new building will add much-needed classroom space, ADA accessibility, and energy efficiency. I urge you to support this request so we can enhance the quality of visitor experience and provide urgently needed improvements. The schematic design is completed, and we're ready for the next step. Funding this project will release additional foundation and federal funds to keep the project on schedule. Thank you for all you do.
Great. Thank you, Diane. Okay, let's go on to, is it Rigel Christensen?
Rigel Christensen, yes. And I'm.
Go ahead, Rigel.
Thank you. This is Rigel Christensen. I'm supporting the Pratt Museum and its funding request in the capital budget. Funding from the state of Alaska would ensure additional matching money from multiple sources. And our current museum building was one of the 1967 centennial projects. And like several of those building projects around the state, the Pratt Museum is in desperate need of replacement. And the new building will ensure ADA accessibility. It will also allow us to properly care for our collections and also have versatile programming space for several to serve Alaskans of all ages, and this includes the free programming we provide at the Pratt for K-12 students from around the state. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Rigel. Let's go to Terry Thompson, also in Homer.
Good afternoon, Senator Meyer and members of the committee. My name is Terry Thompson. I live here in Homer. And today I am here as president of the board of directors of South Peninsula Haven House. Haven House is a program that supports and empowers people impacted by domestic violence and sexual assault. As you know, the governor has included $1 million in the capital budget towards facility needs for shelters statewide. And the Rasmussen Foundation has pledged to match any state dollars up to $2 million. And so today I'm here asking for an additional $1 million so that we can take advantage of the Rasmussen's pledge of $2 million, which would make an be an amazing way to leverage the state dollars. Here in Homer, Haven House is like many shelters across the state in that we have limited operational money. And we have an aging building that's in desperate need of maintenance, both from a health and safety standard. And so this money would go a long ways towards helping shelters such as ours here in Homer. The other thing we deal with is energy inefficiencies. So we could use these facility monies to make our building more efficient, which is going to therefore reduce our operational costs, which allows us to put more money towards programs that benefit victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. So I'd like to thank you very much for your time and would again ask for your support to appropriate an additional $1 million in the capital budget towards shelters that provide domestic violence and sexual assault services across Alaska. Thank you.
All right, Terry, thank you very much. Okay, Philip Alderfer.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Philip Alderfer. I'm here to speak on behalf of the capital project funding request for the Pratt Museum here in Homer. As you know, and I'm sure have experienced, the Pratt is a beloved and important part of our community. And sadly, our physical facility has reached the end of its useful life. I grew up in and around the area, went to the Pratt. I'm very proud that my kids had the opportunity to play on the Pratt grounds when they were young and are now starting school and will be returning as members of school programs at the institution. As a small business owner, though, I'm always skeptical about large project funding requests, and in this case, I wanted to express my strong support and encourage your support for the request for a very simple economic reason. State funding will, as has already been said, release additional foundation funding from other donors, which will help move the project forward. So far, we've raised about 25% of the $9.5 million necessary. The roughly $1.4 million request this year will push us over the 40% threshold for fundraising, and with that comes a flood of additional foundation support. In addition, the nationally recognized museum generates approximately $1 million a year in economic activity for the entire community, from tourists and visitors and folks who stay here in town and take with them what I hope is a memorable piece of the South Central Peninsula. The building we've had has been great. It is coming to the end of its useful life. Now is the time to reconstruct and rebuild, and state support will go a long way towards making that possible. Again, appreciate your time, appreciate your service, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Pratt Museum.
Great. Thank you, Phil. Okay, still in Homer, let's go to Hal Shepard.
Thank you, Senator Myers and members of the committee. I appreciate you, the arduous task that's before you, and listen to all this testimony. Much of this testimony is for some very excellent projects. I'm actually, by the way, the director of the Center for Water Advocacy. And I would like to, I was going to sort of be the sort of devil's advocate here for a couple of projects in which we would propose funding be cut. But after listening to all this testimony about these great projects, schools, museums, mental health services that are desperately needed by the community. I myself was in the Pratt Museum last night. It is a wonderful educational facility. I had to be dragged out of there after reading all, didn't even just get started in reading all the panels. And I would suggest that there are, you have an enormous task in balancing all these budgets. There are two projects that I would suggest are maybe ill-advised for putting funding into. One is the Susitna Dam Hydropower Project, in which I think the Senate is considering $32 million to be put into that project for the study period. That project, there are just simply more better ways to provide energy to the public and the communities that rely on the energy that project would provide, and cheaper ways to do it. Also is the road to Ambler, which would cut through one of the most pristine watersheds in the world. And lots of money has already been put in, millions of dollars have been put into roads in the Arctic, and many of those have not even been built yet. But this project would propose billions of dollars into a road that would ultimately may never be built in the future. I have also been up in that area where one of the alternatives to the road is proposed. It is a very valuable, pristine salmon area. So thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much, Hal. Okay, that is everybody in the Homeward Sewer Glen Allen area. So now we go to the last segment of our public testimony, which is the off-net statewide. And we have some folks actually here in Juneau who wanted to testify. I don't know if Heather is still here. Okay, if she comes back, we'll grab her. Otherwise, Jomo is here, Jomo Stewart. Jomo, if you'd like to join us. And then we'll go to the off-net folks. And we do have several off-net as well, so. Go ahead, Jomo.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Committee. My name is Jomo Stewart. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, and I'm the energy, mining, and military project manager for the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. Just happened to be in town and thought I might take the opportunity to testify on the capital budget. So thank you. I'm not as prepared as I might otherwise be in more professional capacity. But you know, the capital budget process is a yearly affair where we get to take discretionary funds and make investments. Some of those investments, in broader terms, we make investments today, maintaining the investments we made in the past for the Alaska we have, but then we also make investments today to build the Alaska we'd like to see in the future. So in that vein, there are a couple of projects FEDC would like to highlight and endorse. There's, of course, the University of Alaska Fairbanks Combined Heat and Power Plant. We know that it's a very large investment, but the University of Alaska Fairbanks is the flagship campus of the university in the coldest, darkest major metropolitan center at the far end of the civilized world. You need to have heat and power. And so, again, we know it's a big lift, but we'd like to see that if we could. Also, investments in the engineering department and completing those buildings, both in Anchorage and at UAF. It's been said by other speakers, Alaska needs engineers to build the future, and we can make them right here in Alaska. So we'd like to see that. A small parochial one, but important. I don't believe it's in the budget, but Coal Climate Housing Research Center, CCHRC, does a lot of great work around Alaska. They need a little bump. I wanted to say it was $750,000. We might like to see that going if we could. CCHRC does a lot of work helping to design the buildings that are more suitable to Alaska. And we'd like to see that continue. Some other big ticket items, of course, is the Susitna Dam. We know there's a slight bump in the capital budget. We'd like to see that remain. The Ambler Mining District, greater access to Alaska and Alaska's resources is a good thing. Again, that is the building of Alaska's future, and that's investment should move forward, as well as the Port McKenzie Rail Extension. And thank you very much, sir.
Right. Hey, thank you, Jomo. And you're here, so if you want to drop us an email so we can send it to everybody if you had more testimony.
Certainly, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jomo. Okay, there's still one more person here in Juneau who wanted to testify, and then we're going to go off net. And if you haven't signed up, see, we're going to start the off net about 1:30. So if you haven't signed up, then I would encourage you to just send your comments, because we have quite a few who have signed up, and it's going to take a while to get through the ones that have. Heather, if you would join us, please, here in Juneau. And Heather, if you could put your name on the record, please, and proceed.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Senator Meyer and committee members. I'm Heather McCarty, and I live in Juneau. I'm a fisheries consultant. I've been in the fish business for about 35 years. I'm here, however, to testify in support of the $500,000 request from the Chugach Regional Resource Commission to help support the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward and the work that it does for the Alaska King Crab Research, Rehabilitation, and Biology Program, otherwise known as ACRAB. I'm the co-chair of the steering committee of ACRAB. One of my clients is the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, which is on St. Paul Island in the Pribilofs, and it's a community that's completely dependent on the crab resources and the halibut resources in the Central Bering Sea. It's one of the six CDQ groups in Western Alaska. I'm also the fisheries analyst for the city and borough of Kodiak, and I'm pleased to be able to say that this is a project, the ACRAB project, supported by the hatchery. It's a project that's popular and supported and useful to all of those places and all of those regions. As you may have seen in some of the material that you already have, the goal of the ACRAB program is to rehabilitate red king crab in the Gulf of Alaska and blue king crab in the Pribilof Islands, both of which have declined over the last several decades, even though there's been no commercial fishery or even a personal use fishery on any of those crab. So we're about, well, I guess we're in phase two of four phases in accomplishing our goals, and we badly need the support that is being asked for by the CRRC, which is the parent organization for the Aleutic Pride Hatchery. And all of us, both in the Pribilofs and in Kodiak and in Seward, would very much appreciate your consideration of the $500,000 request. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us and staying with us so long.
Thank you for taking my testimony.
All right. Okay, let's go off net now. Patricia Phillips, Mayor Pelican. You're still with us, Mayor?
Thank you, Chairman Meyer, Chairman Kelly, and Senate Finance members. My name is Patricia Phillips, Mayor of the City of Pelican. Please include in the capital budget two projects requested by the City of Pelican. The first project is $300,000 for the City of Pelican ice machine upgrades to replace rakes, augers, and increase ice storage. The project is very important to our economy and the commercial fishing fleet it serves. Several regional seafood processors utilize the ice. Huna Coal Storage, Seafood Producers Cooperative, Sitka Sound Seafoods, Alaska Glacier Seafoods, and our close proximity to the fishing grounds allows fishing vessels to do a quick turnaround and get back fishing, thereby increasing catch and in turn increasing raw fish taxes paid to the state, especially with the 400,000 Chinook salmon quota for the 2014 season. The project will greatly enhance economic activity in Pelican. The second project is $300,000 to renovate the Pelican Health Clinic. A facility condition assessment report funded by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium with professional and technical assistance from the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium demonstrates the partnerships developed for this project. This facility is often the first line of medical attention to Pelican residents and seasonal boaters, an area midway between Sitka and Juneau on the ocean coast. Coast Guard Alaska on the Weather Channel has documented several life and death medical emergencies handled from the Pelican Health Clinic. It is important to Pelican to improve our facility. That concludes my testimony. Thank you for your service to Alaska, and I pray for wisdom and good thinking in your deliberations.
Great. Thank you very much, Mayor. Appreciate those kind words. All right, let's go to Dr. Alex Hills in Palmer.
Good afternoon, Senator Meyer and members of the committee. I'd like to start by thanking you for your service and especially for spending your Saturday listening to this testimony. My name is Alex Hills. I'm a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, but I'm also affiliated with both UAA and UAF and a 44-year Alaskan, in spite of what you might think from my job at an outside university. I'd like to speak to you briefly on behalf of the completing the engineering buildings in Anchorage and Fairbanks. I do a lot of traveling, and as I've done that traveling, I've seen many times that other states and other countries who are our competitors place a very high value on engineering education. And the reason they do that is because they see engineering education as a key to economic development. And I think that the legislature has seen the same thing, and that's why you've appropriated funds in the past to begin the construction of the new engineering buildings in both Anchorage and Fairbanks. So all that's needed now is support to complete those buildings so that UAA and UAF can get on with the very important work of educating Alaska's future engineers. Thanks very much for listening and for considering this request. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hills. Jeff Stephen, Kodiak.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Stephen, and I am calling from Kodiak, Alaska. I'm manager of United Fishermen's Marketing Association here, which is a commercial trade association for commercial fishermen. I'd like to support the $500,000 request that is directed towards Chugach Regional Resource Commission, and the fact that that money will be passed through to the Aleutic Pride, the shellfish hatchery. The purpose of this grant is to continue with the blue and red king crab enhancement that has been going on there for many, many years. As you know and as you heard from Heather, the red and blue king crab stocks in Alaska, in the Gulf of Alaska, in the Bering Sea are at long-time low levels, and they show very little evidence of recovery. And the Alaska King Crab Research Rehabilitation Biology Program was formed several years ago to conduct research to address issues such as growth, survival, nutrition, and other important biological parameters of the king crab resource in Alaska. And incidentally, this is work that the federal agencies and state agencies and universities on their own are not doing and can't do because of many restrictions that they have, financial partially and et cetera. We engage. The Aleutic Hatchery does very good work. They do high quality work. They are very productive. They are very efficient. We're proud to work with them. They engage and cooperate with state, federal agencies, with Alaska, Alaskan universities, other universities from other states that have expertise in this area. We've engaged master students and PhD students and some of those who have gone on to work in Alaska and stay here. They engage the industry in a very unique way, and it's a model for successful collaboration and research, and they've done wonderful work. Again, it's an efficient operation, we really would support this $500,000 appropriation to keep them going. They've developed significant body of knowledge and information, and we hope that it will result in some initiatives that will begin to help understand and assist in the recovery of these stocks. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, let's go on now to Karen Peterson.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, we're here, Karen. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name's Karen Peterson, and I'm from Thunder, Alaska. I'm the chair of the Friends of the Thunder Library, and I'd just like to speak. I know quite a few folks that have spoken today in support of libraries, and I'd just like to speak as well in support of community libraries. I also want to thank you for taking public testimony today, and I appreciate the opportunity for people in all parts of remote Alaska to be able to call in like this, and I know that it's a long day for all of you, but I'd just like to include my support for the total of $12.2 million in the state FY 2015 budget for matching construction funds for public library projects in the communities of Wasilla, Cotton Cove, Milne, and Thorndale. As you know and have heard, these communities support these projects and have all gone through the 4-acre pre-development process. We're working hard to bring these projects forward and are doing their part for finding the matching funds and the collaboration for making these projects a reality. I believe that state library projects have a good track record with the state legislature. I know that historically the House and Senate Finance Committees and the Governor have approved over $52 million in the 50% matching construction funds for the library projects throughout the state. And I'll just go ahead and say, you know, our community is a small community of 500 people
and we have a library that's in an old trailer, which I invite you to come look at. But our friends have been working for over 10 years to make a new library a reality, and I was listening to the funding that other communities have raised toward their project, and I'd just like you to know that in a community of 500 people, we've had big sales and whatever else, you know, t-shirt sales, and we've raised nearly $40,000. You might think that's not a big amount of money, but for a little town like this, it surely is. I'm going to go ahead and go offline now, and I thank you in advance for all of your support.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Okay, Katya Kirsch and Haynes.
Hi, are you there?
Yep. We're here. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Speaking today as a almost 40-year resident of Haynes, Alaska, and I hope that you will spend and save money for the real necessities in Alaska, like education, libraries, road maintenance, and some of the other needed projects that have been discussed today. What I don't think you should be spending money on, and most of Haynes and most of Skagway agree with me, is the massive Juneau Road Extension Project, which would cost more than $500 million, be a mega project that the state really can't afford. It would not be safe. It would have more than 35 avalanche zones, and it would be closed for over a month each year, according to DOT's own estimates. Deaths would occur. Deaths never occur right now in the Alaska Marine Highway, and you'd still end up in a remote spot needing to take a ferry crossing. It would be really bad for public transportation. People in Haynes and Skagway must get to Juneau to fly out if they're going to go anyplace, and if you don't have a car, can't take one, you would not be able to easily get to and from a terminal that's really far away in a really remote place, and it would be dangerous for school kids going to sport games. I really hope you consider not wasting money on this project this year and spend money on a lot of things that the state really needs. So thank you very much for your attention.
Great. Thank you, Katya. Let's go to Norm Eck. Norman Eck.
Good afternoon, Senator Meyer. Thank you so much, and thank you to the committee for allowing me to speak this afternoon. I'm calling in to request your support for our North Star of the Northwest Magnet School. You know, the Northwest Arctic Girls School District in our final preparatory stages of opening our school, which is a statewide residential high school program located in Kotzebue that will serve students in grades 11 through 14. We are requesting an additional $8 million to complete the construction of our residential dormitory. The legislature provided $4 million toward this project last session. For that, we're very grateful. The dorm will house high school students attending the school. We already have a dorm for the adults. Granting this request will allow us to finish construction that has already been started, and will, with your approval, this funding request be completed in time to open our doors for the second semester of this next school year. Approval of our funding request will allow students attending Star School to access the recently remodeled and expanded, thanks to the legislature, the Alaska Technical Center, a state-of-the-art career and technical education facility. STAR will provide exactly the type of education that over 1,400 students in small rural high schools are currently unable to access in their village high schools. STAR will focus specifically on preparing students for careers in healthcare, education, culinary arts, and process technology, all high-paying, long-term careers located in rural Alaska communities. Star of the Northwest is unique. It's located in Kotzebue. It's the only residential high school and adult vocational training center located above the Arctic Circle, and will provide a specific curriculum aimed at developing a rural workforce for Alaska. The career and technical education programs at STAR translate to success for students and success for employers. To recap, we need our $8 million to complete the residential dormitory for high school students attending STAR of the Northwest Magnet School. This capital request will complete the project and allow us to become operational in January of 2015. And for that, I thank you so very much.
Great. Thank you, Norman. Okay, let's go to Becky Long, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Meyer and Kelly and the rest of the Finance Committee for sitting through these hearings. I am Becky Long. I'm from Bald Mountain in South Central, and I am asking you to vote against the Alaska Energy Authority request for FY14 supplemental monies of $32.7 million for the proposed Susitna Dam. I just, I did the work and looked at it, and AEA does not need that money. By their own admission, they have $30.9 million for their current work, and much of their current licensing study work is on hold due to AEA's inability to fulfill the study schedule on time. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has granted them an extension which puts off their second-year studies for a year and also puts off the license application for a year. So the supplemental money is not required right now to do what they need to do, and this supplemental money should be used for other necessary things, like Chinook research or other necessary things that have been spoken about today. So please consider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's go on now to Dave Herbert with St. Mary's School.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Dave Herbert. I'm the superintendent for the St. Mary's School District. I want to begin by thanking you for taking my call this afternoon and for the tireless efforts that each of you put forth to ensure the finances of the state of Alaska are managed in a fiscally sound and equitable manner. The reason for my call this afternoon is to humbly request that the Senate Finance Committee seriously consider funding the number one project for new school construction on the Department of Education's new school construction list. In order to qualify to be placed on the Department of Education's new school construction list, each school district must apply through a rigorous grant application process, which has been vetted by the state of Alaska and undergoes multiple levels of review by unbiased reviewers. The St. Mary's School District currently has earned the number one ranked project on the Department of Education's new school construction list. St. Mary's is a first-class city and has a local contribution requirement, and the community is in full support of this project. St. Mary's School District current buildings were built in 1971 and 81. They're 43 and 33 years old, respectively. The district is maintaining these buildings and is requesting to add on to the high school building due to the fact that we have an unhoused student population of over 195%. This project would allow our district to address a major unhoused student issue. Our district is a three-star performing school district, and we're producing contributing productive members of society. In addition, our project is currently at 95% design complete and is ready for construction immediately, which will help to stimulate the economy of the state. St. Mary's School District has worked very hard to be frugal and fiscally responsible in order to ensure that we have the district share of matching funds to put towards the project. In closing, I'd like to thank the committee for listening to my testimony today and ask the committee seriously consider funding the number one project from the Department of Education's new school construction list, the St. Mary's Project. In addition, I'd like to thank Senator Myers and his staff, in particular Suzanne Armstrong, for taking time this past summer to come out and visit our community with other delegates and see the needs of our community. Finally, I'd like to thank each of you who are sitting on the Senate Finance Committee for your hard work in trying to figure out how to find the necessary funding for some of these essential projects in the state of Alaska. I know it's not an easy task, and I commend all of you for your efforts and your service to our state. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Okay, let's go on to Craig Cottrell. Craig and yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Craig Cottrell. I'm the new city administrator for the city of Puna, and I'm happy to be here in Alaska, and I'm thankful you gave me this opportunity to speak to you today. I'd just like to quickly advocate for the completion of some of our projects that we have going on that you have provided funding for graciously in the past. We have a water line project that is in phase three, and it is important to us to be able to complete that job. It also creates some local jobs for the summer as we complete that. We have a park that's also in phase three, and the first two phases that were funded by you have been well received by the community. The tourists and the kids locally have a place to play, and using the park as soon as the snow has melted off, it is packed down there now. We have a multi-service public safety building that we are working towards, trying to put a facility for our police and our courts and our fire department. It is in phase two at this time, and we're asking for additional funding for that. And then finally, we have a public we're currently housing a 60-year-old BIA building that was not built for the use that it is being used for now. It's obviously past its intended service life. And I appreciate the consideration for all of these. I know it's difficult to prioritize in these tight budgets, and I thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, let's go to Talkeetna. Will Pretty, is it?
Hi. As you mentioned, I'm Willie from Sunshine, Alaska, actually.
Okay.
Thanks for providing the call-in opportunity for me to give you guys input for members of the committee. I really appreciate that instead of driving for many hours. I'll keep this short and to the point. I'm calling regarding the Susitna Wantana Dam funding. No money, please. I personally feel very strongly that we should be investing in tomorrow's technology, not yesterday's problems when it comes to our energy needs for the future here in Alaska. We already know what the downsides are of big hydro projects. Simply look to the lower 48 states. And I don't think we should be repeating those same mistakes when we have so many options. No funding for Susitna Dam. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Doug Smith.
Hello, this is Doug. I'd like to thank you, Senator Meyer, and committee members for taking public testimony. It's great living in a democracy. I'll reiterate what the last caller said. No money for the Susitna Wantana project. It's been a mismanaged project. The river as it is supports thousands of jobs, tens of millions of dollars in annual revenue, and the dam is a bad bargain. Grand Coulee and Washington cost the same amount in adjusted dollars, and it provides 6,000 megawatts to those citizens. The Susitna Dam, 600 megawatts, one-tenth. We're paying for a Cadillac and getting a Yugo. And worse, I don't think we really even need this dam. 80% of our energy use here in the state is for heating, which is not electricity. So save the money, put it somewhere else. Thank you for listening.
Great. Thank you, Doug. Okay. It looks like there may be two or three online here at Kaufman Cove to testify on the Kaufman Cove Library. Okay, you're gone. All right. No Kaufman Cove. Okay, Conrad Douglas.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can, Conrad. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell the Senate the committee in full support of sanitation facilities repair and retrofit for five communities. AROC SY 15, estimate cost $1 million. The increased spring flooding levels here in Amber are threatening a section of water main. The water bank has eroded enough that the water main has exposed at the bank, requiring repairs to water main. The water main will certainly be taken out by the next higher than average spring flood. This project will either protect the water main with large rock to stop the erosion or replace it with a non-eroding area. If this water main washed out, the community system can't circulate anymore and will freeze, making one half the community without water. We will also improve other parts of the water system to ensure they are protected from erosion and freezing in the future. This project will protect the water main that is threatened by river erosion and will certainly be destroyed by the river in the next few years if nothing is done. If the water main is destroyed, half of the community will be without water. I am calling in support of sanitation facilities repair retrofit at
gentlemen for listening to it, our request.
Great. Thank you, Conrad. Peg Foster, Takitna.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Peg Foster, and I live with my family north of Talkeetna in the Chase area. And I would, we would just like to ask you to please not appropriate any additional funds for the Susitna Dam project. We would wreck the river up here for all the recreation and the many tourist activities that take place there, which support our local government. So thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, still on Talkeetna, Brian Ogunek.
Hello, this is Brian Ogunek from Talkeetna. I'd like to also vote in favor of not appropriating money to the Susitna Wantana Dam project. There's a lot of compelling evidence that it's not a good idea. I'd like to highlight a few things from a University of Oxford study that just came out that represents a sample of 245 dams worldwide. 26 of those were major dams greater than 450 feet. Susitna Wantana, we're looking at a 735-foot high dam. Three out of every four of these large dams suffered cost overruns. The actual cost averaged 96% higher than estimated, with the median being 27% higher. Costs were systematically biased towards underestimation. Two out of every 10 large dams cost double the estimated cost, while one out of every 10 were triple the estimated cost. Eight out of every 10 dams suffered schedule overruns. North America did the best performance, however. They had 27% average for cost overruns. And studies showed that little had been learned from past mistakes. Forecasts of costs for large dams today are likely to be as wrong as they were between 1934 and 2007. I think this $5.1 billion that is estimated for the Susitna Wantana Dam to cost could far, far exceed that. Very few mega projects in Alaska have ever come close to what they were estimated. There's got to be better ways to produce electricity here, diversify, and protect our watershed, and put money into all these other projects that are so desperately needed around the state. Thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate this ability to be able to call in. Thanks much.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Robert Gerlach, also Talkeetna.
Hello?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yes. I ask the committee for no more funding for Sioux Hydro. We need an in-state gas line. Sioux Hydro will certainly cost way more than estimated by AEA. Put the money to get gas to a rail belt, especially for Fairbanks. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Also on talk, Keetna Cheryl Salaski.
That was Rob.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yep, sure can, Cheryl.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead with your testimony, Cheryl.
Yeah, hi, thanks so much for letting us call in like this. It makes it so much greater when we're this far away from the centers that are doing this, so thank you. My name is Cheryl Salaski, and I am calling from Talkeetna. And I echo a lot of those sentiments that have gone just recently before me about please no more funds towards this proposed Susitna Dam. I would urge you all to vote against adding the $37.2 million to the supplemental budget. Rather than putting any more money towards the dam, I would encourage you all to think about spending our needed limited. About spending our limited, can you tell? About spending our limited state funds on other projects such as the gas pipeline perhaps, or what that other fellow mentioned earlier about tomorrow's energy sources rather than yesterday's problems, which will provide energy for electricity and heat. The dam won't provide any energy for heat, and we need that just as much as we need the electricity. So, again, just to make it brief, please, I urge you all to consider no more funds towards the proposed Sitna Dam, which is not a very good project in my estimation. But above all, thanks so much for this opportunity. Bye.
Great. Thank you for joining us, Cheryl. Okay, let's now go to Sherry Nelson at Yakutat. Sherry's gone. Okay. We'll go back to talk to you now. John Strassenberg.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can, sir.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, okay. My name is John Strassenberg. I live in Talkeetna, and I'm testifying about the proposed funding for Sitna Wapatana. And I oppose both the 32.7 million supplemental and the 10 million in the regular capital budget. This administration reminds me of a kid in a candy store. It wants all its mega projects right now. And I don't see any coherent approach to determining how best to meet our energy needs. It's haphazard and reckless and a colossal waste of money. Sitna Wapatana is fraught with problems, not the least of which is the lack of a rigorously prepared and reliable cost estimates. And I think it's high time that be developed. And it's also time for the state to step back and stop throwing good money after bad on this project. So, in summary, please don't appropriate any money for Sitna. Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list, Dan Blair. Dan, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Dan. Your testimony, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Hi. My name's Dan Blair. I'm mayor of Whittier, and I'd like to thank you, Chairman Meyer, and members of the Finance Committee for the opportunity to testify today. Please include in the capital budget the two projects for Whittier. We are requesting $2 million towards the Shotgun Cove Road project and a $2 million match to the Whittier Harbor Matching Grant Program. The City of Whittier is committed to the responsible planned growth of our community. Our community's geographic location within the state dictates our role as the primary gateway to Prince William Sound for South Central. Logistically, Whittier currently accommodates more than 200,000 visitors each summer on a tiny land footprint. The current location of the Whittier Alaska Marine Highway Ferry Terminal is situated within a restricted corridor which impedes the access of ferry passengers, our boat ramp, restaurants, and pedestrians. The number of visitors converging on Whittier will continue to increase annually. The Whittier Alaska Marine Highway Terminal is by far the most utilized ferry terminal in South Central. Improving the visitor experience to Whittier is best solved by adding access to lands to accommodate future growth of services. Shotgun Cove Road will provide the Alaska Marine Highway System unrestricted future growth while improving ferry passenger security and providing Whittier residents with essential lands required for future residential housing needs of our growing community. Whittier is committed to restoring our harbor to ensure our harbor facilities provide a safe services to the recreational and commercial boaters of South Central. Thank you once again for your time.
Thank you, Mayor Blair. Next on the list, Ellen Wolf from Talkeetna. Ellen, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Hi, this is Ellen Wolf. I live in Talkeetna, Alaska. And I also volunteer and I'm on the board of the Sitna River Coalition. We have been, first of all, I want to say that I would like to urge the Finance Committee to not allocate any further funds to the proposed Sitna Dam project. With the Sitna River Coalition, we've been talking to Alaskans at fairs and festivals and sportsman shows and wherever we bump into folks for 3 years, and over 6,000 Alaskans have signed on with us to oppose
the dam, and this year more than ever, as we're talking to people, they are so concerned and frustrated by this money going to a project that is not worth the money when there are so many other projects that are deserving of our limited state monies. The legislature has a tough choice to make when there are so many deserving projects, and the Susitna Dam is not one of those. I urge you to stop funding it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wolf. Next on the agenda, Melise Cody from Talkeetna. Melise, are you there?
Thank you, Senators, for taking public testimony. I'm Melise Cody, Vice Chair of the Talkeetna Community Council. I'm asking that you withhold money from the capital and supplemental budget for the proposed Susitna-Wautana Dam. At $5 billion, it's a poor investment in Alaska's energy future, and it's clear with items not included in the AEA's budget that the final price tag could be several billion dollars more. As our representative, you're charged this session to tighten the belt, make tough decisions, safeguard our reserves, and only support projects with clear benefit to all Alaskans. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Ms. Cody. Next on the agenda from Wasilla, Ken Ray. Ken, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Ken Ray, Wasilla, Alaska.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm calling in today to testify about the transportation issues in the valley. The Wasilla Bypass is a project that is 31 years since it was first funded. A $2 million appropriation has identified routes, and now there's a $10 million request before the capital improvements, or the CIP list. I would like to suggest that the legislature put some parameters of performance on this money, requiring this money to be actually used for advanced right-of-way acquisition. It is too easy for projects that are state-funded to languish. The Fairview Loop project started out at $22 million, $47 million, not asking for $82 million. I think the legislature needs to put some performance standards on their money when they hand this out. The Wasilla Bypass is not about Wasilla. Years ago, there was a bumper sticker that said, I drove to the road. Like that lady said he had the same one. I would hate to see a bumper sticker that says, I made it home through Wasilla. This is about all of South Central Alaska, the interstate highway system, and advanced acquisition is a looking forward use of money to keep the cost of the entire project manageable. The other issue I wanted to bring to your attention is the transportation fund. I've made a suggestion that the Department of Transportation currently has many assets under their control, where they have excess property that they've purchased as part of transportation projects when buying right away. An example of this is the park and ride at the corner of Seward Meridian and the Parks Highway was the most expensive highway acquisition property in the widening of the Parks Highway. The state paid $8.50 a foot for it. The Nice Supply Building, Wasilla, is one of the other expensive items, which has now been used for the Alaska Railroad. I think that these projects are loosely managed. I think that this asset could be land put into a land bank to help seed the transportation fund. I commend you guys for working Saturday, and it's a lot of work to get everything done in 90 days. And I just want to thank you for your time. Ken Ray in Wasilla, Alaska.
Great. Thank you, Ken, for your testimony. Okay, now we're going to go to the community of Skagway. And I understand there's several people who want to testify there in Skagway. And if you want to speak as individuals, go right ahead. Or if you want to have one person speak for you, and if you would, just have that person then state the names that he or she's speaking for. So let's start with Jan Wentmore. Jan, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Senator, for allowing us the opportunity to testify. We all promise to be brief.
Okay.
I'd like to state a few reasons I believe that funding the governor's request for $35 million for Juneau access is premature at this point. The first is we don't have any hard numbers about what this project will cost. A year ago, you were in this committee considering a fiscal note for $260 million over the next 6 years. This year, I believe you're looking at a fiscal note that says $507 million over the next 6 years. So that number has doubled. We have also already been appropriated $180 million, so I don't understand the need for the additional $35 million in as much as the EIS is not completed. And if you consider that they are going to use the two Alaska Class Ferry day boats for this project at a cost of $120 million, that brings the cost of the project over $800 million without cost overruns. The EIS has not been completed. We have no updated design information and no record of decision from Federal Highways. While DOT and the governor prefer an east side road, recently the federal agencies, including the Army Corps of Engineers and the Environmental Protection Agency, have weighed in on behalf of a west side road. And the project does not enjoy regional or statewide support. And in conclusion, the Juneau Access Project is not construction ready. This year's window for construction will have passed before the EIS is completed. And a project cannot be construction ready if a decision has not even been made as to which side of Lynn Canal it's going to be built on. So I'd ask that you hold off on funding this project until you have a record of decision and more information about the fiscal cost. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Jan. Okay, Corey Thola, was it?
That's correct. It's Corey Thola, this Gateway, Alaska. I'd like to thank Chairman Meyer and the Finance Committee for making public comment for this meeting available statewide and also hanging in there for so long to hear all of us. I am also here to ask the Finance Committee to not approve $35 million in the governor's budget to extend the road north of Juneau. Besides the fact that the full cost of this road, should it be extended to Katsuhin, would be over $500 million to construct, I do not feel that the cost of maintenance and who would be responsible to maintain the road has been adequately addressed at any time in the past or at the current state, which would directly fall on the state, which is currently running at a deficit. Moreover, if the road were extended to Katsuhin, which Jan mentioned, the EIS has not been completed. It has also never been addressed which community would be responsible for the emergency response and the cost of that emergency response, given that the road would be very dangerous and traverse more than 30 avalanche paths and many potential landslides. All of these costs of construction, the maintenance, and the emergency response could be put towards programs that are in greater need of funding. That, in my opinion, being education, being an ex-teacher that was directly impacted by the current state school funding program, I would much rather see these funds go towards public schools and the education of our Alaska's youth. Finally, the road would also go through the Tongass National Forest, which holds the largest tracts of virgin old-growth coastal temperate rainforest in the world, of which this ecosystem is one of the most degraded and impacted ecosystems on the planet. And my feeling is that being the holders of this worldly unique and world-class area, that we not impact it anymore, as the intrinsic value of this natural area is much greater than a road that would see less usage in 1 year than the Washington Beltway in D.C. would in an afternoon. Once again, I thank you for your time, and please do not approve $35 million to extend the road north to Juneau. Thank you, or north of Juneau. Thank you very much.
Very good. Elizabeth Lavoie.
Hi there. I'm a 16-year resident of Skagway, and I would like to voice my opposition to the proposed Juneau Access Project. I have several areas of concern. One, it is environmentally harmful and absolutely unsafe. Two, it's fiscally irresponsible. Costs keep ballooning, and no one knows who will be paying for it, maintaining it, etc. Three, it is in total disregard for outlying communities and their wishes and livelihoods. And four, it doesn't solve the problem, but instead seems more and more geared towards benefiting a select few. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, Ken Russo.
Hello, thank you. My name is Ken Russo, 35-year Skagway resident and retired harbor master for the community. Thank you for hearing the comments, and I am here to urge you to cut the $35 million that the governor requested for funding the Juneau Access Project. The project does not meet public need, and it just does not make economical or environmental sense. It makes travel to our communities harder, not easier. Ferries meet our transportation needs in Southeast. They are safer and more reliable than the roads through avalanche-prone country that will have many winter closures. I see badly needed funds being cut in education, state retirement programs, bridge and highway maintenance of existing roads, and many other areas. Surely $35 million could be better spent to benefit a greater number of state residents on other projects. Once again, I urge you to cut the losses on the Juneau Access Project and stop throwing money at it and throwing good money after bad money on the project. Thank you.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. Let's go now to Deborah Potter.
Yes, first of all, thank you so much for your patience and allowing us the opportunity to voice our opinion. My name is Deborah Potter. I am a 14-year resident of Skagway now. I also oppose the costly, dangerous, and to be honest, highly suspicious Juneau Access Road. Realistic projections report that this road to nowhere will cost up to $800 million. And if you really think about it, that's about enough money to provide every single teenager in this state with not only a computer, but training to use it. I personally would prefer that my tax dollars go towards ensuring that our children are the most highly trained and highly educated in this entire country, if not the world, rather than going towards a road that literally goes to nowhere. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. Okay, Tamara Harrison.
Hello, yeah, my name is Tamara Harrison, and I am a year-round resident of Skagway, Alaska, for the last 10 years, and I'm simply just saying that I'm against any further funding for the Juneau Access Road. Thanks for hearing my testimony.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Sam Palmerston.
My name is Sam Palmerston. I'm a resident of Skagway, Alaska. I absolutely love Southeast Alaska and am opposed to the Juneau Access Road. I'd rather taxpayer dollars be used for education, improving the existing infrastructure, maintaining the ferry, wilderness conservation, etc. I am absolutely opposed to the Juneau Access Road. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Great. Thank you, Sam. James Nolan.
Hi there, Chairman Meyer. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for not only coming in on a Saturday, but also sticking around to hear all of our testimony. Again, my name is James Nolan. I'm an attorney, the only, current resident attorney in Skagway. And I'm also an office manager of a tourist interest here in town. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to talk to you about my two perspectives. First, as an attorney, I believe that the appropriation is premature for where you are in the actual planning stage. You don't have a finalized EIS. You don't have a record of decision. You also don't have approval for permits from the Army Corps of Engineers. Echoing what Jan Rentmore said, in fact, many of the partner agencies would prefer a different option than what you currently have on the table. So I would just encourage, as a practical matter, for you to actually get, or for the state to get all of the permitting issues, all of the environmental impact statements out of the way first before you begin appropriating money that might be able to be used somewhere else. Second, I want to talk to you from the perspective of an office manager here in Skagway. I am a manager of an ecotourist industry interest, and every year Skagway has about 1,000 seasonal employees that come into town, many of whom come without a car. So just as a practical matter, your road past Auk Bay Terminal to the Cassaheen Terminal, which would not be a road to Skagway, but rather just a road to another ferry terminal, would actually increase the cost not only to my company, but to my employees, which actually would limit the number of people I can hire and would limit the number of jobs that my company can carry. So I just wanted you to consider those two perspectives. And again, thank you for your time.
Great. Thanks, James. Okay, Scott Logan.
My name is Jennifer Fuss. Scott Logan and Abby Crujo had to leave due to time constraints. But again, my name is Jennifer Fuss. I'm a resident of Skagway. Thank you again for taking your time today, Saturday. I believe the Juneau Access Road will be environmentally harmful and unsafe, and clearly planning is not really near complete for the project. I believe there are surely more worthy local projects throughout the state, such as clinics, education, and improving already built infrastructure instead of this road north of Juneau. Thank you again for your time very much.
Okay, and I'm sorry, you were Jennifer and you were speaking for yourself, Abby and Scott, is that correct?
No, I'm sorry, let me be more clear. Scott Logan and Abby Kramer had to leave due to time constraints. I'm speaking for myself.
And your name again, please?
Jennifer Suss.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then a Dr. Bruce Weber?
Yes, Dr. Bruce Weber, a 31-year resident of Skagway. And I oppose the road, the extension of the road towards the north for a variety of reasons. I think it's extremely premature to even be discussing the road without an EIS. We really have no serious information on the construction cost or on the maintenance cost. We have no idea whether the road and ferry, which is basically what we have now, a road and ferry, and we're going to still have a road and ferry, whether the cost to the individual users will be better. There are so many reasons to oppose, so many environmental reasons, so many economic reasons. You've heard testimony today from a variety of people who have good, solid requests for projects that are necessary for their parts of the state. And here we have a project that's not supported by residents of Lynn Canal. And so it seems almost ludicrous to pursue this project because of the lack of information and the lack of support for it. So I urge you to withhold any funding in this legislature and future legislatures for the road. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Weber. Okay, I think that is everybody who has signed up to testify off net. So appreciate everybody staying with us today, and it's been a long afternoon. I think we've been here about 3 hours. So we got a lot of good comments, a lot of good testimony, and again, thank you to everyone. So what we're going to do now, Ms. Armstrong and myself, is take these comments and get comments from committee members as well, and put together a committee substitute capital budget, and hopefully we'll have that ready Monday morning. If not, then by Monday afternoon. So if we don't have it ready for Monday morning, we'll take up three bills: Senate Bill 201, criminal trespass on private property; House Bill 19, permanent motor vehicle registration; and House Bill 236, which is to extend senior benefits payment. But if the capital budget is ready, we'll of course take that first. And then I think, Senator Bishop, you have a bill we're working on, and we'll check on the progress as that is as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Is there anything else come before the committee until we meet again Monday at 9? If not, then we're adjourned.